Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
A little low, but I heard a little burp out of Matt drinking those margs. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's the Mark Order Podcast, episode 50.
Oh, man, what are we doing for our 1 year?
No plans.
Fucking, what is this, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast?
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like... That tickled me. I got the aftershock of that joke got me. I don't know, Matt. We should figure something out. My guess is it'll probably just be us here on another Wednesday.
And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Ooh, he's got the inappropriate bell.
I know we should get started, but I got to ask because I'm going to forget. Did you see that he's in the new Netflix show?
DDP?
Yes, and it's been vetoed to watch. We're
really?
Yes, I'm waiting for all my Marvel shows to show back up on Disney Plus next week. So we're looking to watch things. So we watched like the Kanye documentary.
Which,
the first two are really good. That third episode, it's three part. That third one, boy. Oh boy!
I listen. The guy's got some mental issues. I don't know if I could really watch that.
Oh, the third episode—it's chock full of them. Documented. Boy. A lot of very candid situations where his friend decides to turn the camera off while he's going on one of his wacky rants.
Probably smart.
So we started with the X-Men last night. Now,
the X-Men.
Yeah, first class.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're doing all the Fox ones too?
Doing it all, taking it all in.
But come it's on, not even the same universe.
I gotta kill time until next week, dude.
It's not canon.
I'm jonesing for some superhero shit. That's why I went and saw Batman today.
Now I didn't see it. How was the Batman?
I enjoyed it very much.
Well,
he's a little emo for me in this version. Super emo, but I enjoyed it very much.
It's year two, so he's supposed to be a little emo.
Is it year two? Is this the first time he's been Batman?
This is his first time as Batman. This is Robert.
Are you talking about Robert, or are you talking about the character within the universe?
No, Robert.
Oh, yeah, it's his first Batman.
This is his first go, but this is a year two story, Matt. So they skip the whole, you know, obviously the... you know, backstory, you know, the origin, it's been done to death. So
right.
I would assume in year two, he'd still be a little emo.
Oh dude, it seemed, I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a very good flick.
I will certainly see it. I wasn't going to go see it last week. I will see it maybe like AMC, like if you're part of their club or whatever, like Tuesday nights, it's like $5. So I might try to see it on a Tuesday.
All right, nice.
Hopefully the crowds aren't that bad.
Tuesday
night movie night. So,
I made it worse because I was doing Always Sunny. I even exaggerated it.
Can I tell you guys a story?
Tell me something.
Sure. All right, hold on. Kate's gonna jump in and then we'll tell a story
with her lubies. That's right. We are the four horsemen of the Mark Order Apocalypse back together for first time in like 4 weeks, so enjoy this while you can, people, because chances are we won't be here as a whole team again next week.
Exactly. What, Kate? I'm sorry, Kate, you sound like Wally,
like a robot. Yeah,
what? Did,
No. Yeah. Oh my God. It sounds like she's got, like she's got one of those voice boxes.
I am Kane.
Right. I didn't have my lips done. I had a voice box put in.
This is what smoking does to you.
Wow. No, it's bad, kid.
It is bad.
It's real bad.
Let's try again.
All right. See you later. I told you people to enjoy it while you had it.
All right. Well, now I'm not waiting for Kate to come back. So obviously this is an AEW podcast. We talk all things AEW, and this weekend was Revolution, right?
Yes.
But if you've tuned into the Mark Order podcast, you know, I am a psychopath with the action figures, and Anthony is like my sidekick. He's not as deep into it with AEW. Ghostbusters, yes. I think that's fair to say.
I'm into it with AEW. I've got everything.
Yeah, but you're not buying two of everything.
Well, I mean, that's different, but I'm also not buying two everything of Ghostbusters.
Okay. So we're deep in it. We're in the mud. Me and Anthony are in the
mud. We're in the muck and mire.
Nope. Yep, you sound awful, Kate.
Go back, Kate. You do 8 podcasts a week, but this is the one. Everything falls apart. I swear, Kate, we're not lying. You're heavily immodulated. Oh boy. It sounded like she said send a link to her Twitter, Ryan.
You got that, Ryan? I could not hear a thing. So Revolution was this weekend. They did the big fan fest, and boy did they unload a shitload of figures on us. A ton.
Oh, too many.
A ton, right? So Anthony's doing stuff with Mrs. Money. I was actually home on the sitting in the chair watching the TV box before work. They dropped Brody in -1. Gone in like 10 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck? Long story short, comes back around. We're good. Sunday morning, I wake up. They did GameStop pre-orders. We got those.
Got them.
And then they released these exclusive Shop AEW figures. They're only making 3,000 of each.
Are they really? I didn't know that.
That's it. One of 3,000, bro. That's it.
Hell yeah.
That's why there was such a fucking line.
I had no idea. I really didn't. Oh, yeah. I was like, well, I guess if I miss this one, like I'll get in when they redo them. So I'm glad I fucking got it.
No, that's it. That's a wrap, man. They are what is there? My assumption, the way it was presented was these are exclusive to Shop AEW. You can only get these here. We're only making 3,000 because there's no point to put the 1 of 3,000 sticker on there.
Okay. I'll take it.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't know. How are we?
Oh, man. Victory.
So weird. So because there's 3 different StreamYard accounts that I have to be logged into on a given week, I think maybe it was the browser I was in because I didn't do anything different. But we're here. We're happening. How are you, fellas?
Good. We were, I proceeded with my story because of your technical issues. So I apologize.
Cliff notes? Do I get cliff notes?
Yeah. Action figure talk.
And talk about action figures for you Monday
and
night.
Kate's gone again.
For real?
No.
We were just making fun of you because it's action figure talk.
Oh, no.
Marky Mark Kayfabe, he also secured 2 today.
Nice work, Mark. I will admit, I only did 1. I got 1 to stock. I'm not rocking any. Matt does the 1 to rock, 1 to stock.
I got 2. So I was walking around. I posted on the major wrestling figure podcast Instagram when they posted these photos. Like, does anyone know? And someone was like, Monday. So then, like a psychopath, I was checking every hour on the hour. And that continued into today. They usually don't drop anything after like 5 o'clock. Of course, with the exception of the first 2 Chase figures of the first series when they did it on like a fucking Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. So I was at the Walmart with the wife. We had an unscheduled day off. Me in a hunting store with her might be the funniest thing. There should have been a video camera because I am like just a child. Wandered. I'm just touch. Don't touch the bear. I touch the bear. Don't touch this. Don't play in the tents. I'm half in the tent. Someone's like, "Can I help you?" I'm like, no, I'm good. She had to get her turkey hunting license today.
Nice.
Because that's our next hunt. Her next hunt. So we go there. We go to the Walmart. And that's when these figures go on sale. So I get in the queue and I text Dan. I'm like, Jericho, get it. Get in the queue. So there was a queue. I was like 600 people back. And there were like 300 people in front of me. And I checked on Anthony and he was like 900 back. But we both got our figures. And then after I purchased mine, I logged in just to see what it was about. And I was like 2400th in the queue.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm like, no fucking shot. Anyone else is getting these things. And it sold out in like half an hour.
Was there a limit on them? Could you only get like two?
Okay. Only two.
So that's what I thought. I didn't read the fine print. So I figured like, okay, I'm 900 in line. If everybody got two, I didn't know they were only doing 3,000, but I was like, I've got a pretty good shot.
What figure was this? What are we talking about?
It's Jericho.
Cruise Director Mike.
Cruise Director Mike. Now I understand.
It's a Shop AEW exclusive, a brand new thing. As if they didn't have enough of our money. Yeah. They're like, hey, here's something else you can spend your fucking money on, you nerds.
They're going to be doing like a Borders bookstore exclusive by the end of this. Like Amazon and Target and the Shop AEW.
They did do. So I don't think I hit any of the Amazons unless Matt made me hip to ones that were back up. I just don't remember. I've got so many fucking.
But remember we had the fiasco where the packages were all damaged?
That's right. Yes, you're right. I did get those. Matt, I told you over the weekend. Now, this is true nerdiness, fellas. So, everybody, so strap in. My comment to Matt was, I have to make a spreadsheet because I can't keep track of what I've already ordered. And I got to the point where I was like, wait a minute, when did they do Unrivaled 3, which was like all the Dark Order? I was like, I don't think I got that. And I'm looking back in my orders and it's like, it shipped and it was delivered. And now I'm freaking out in my head because I'm like, I don't remember getting any packages. And it said it was delivered in like February or like January. So I'm still sort of, so just so you know, Matt, I haven't gone looking for them only because I know I'll go nuts. I have to make
nuts looking for them.
Like I'm going to have to go through every box. Because they're spread, I'm not joking, they're spread through my fucking house, dude. I've got boxes downstairs. I've got boxes in my office. I've got boxes in my goddamn bedroom. I got nowhere to put these fucking things. Matt, I'm ready to go 50-50 on a unit, on a storage unit.
She started talking about getting rid of the couch up here to make more room. Oh my God. And I was like, Ray, I'm like,
oh my God.
I appreciate we were looking at fucking TVs today at Walmart because this TV makes a weird humming sound. I'm like, we got to mount this on. I want to mount the TV on the wall. Then I was
wait, that just means, Ree, I want you to mount this TV on the wall, right?
She would be in charge. She would be in charge. I would be the foreman.
Oh, okay.
I would just stand back and watch and be like, what do you need?
It looks straight to me.
Yeah, I know my role. And I was like, you got to, like,
what a woman.
No rush. There's no rush. I'm like, how about we worry about your space? Like, my space is good.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but every time I brush my teeth, there's a giant package of toys in front of the TV and it bothers me. I'm like, well, I can't do it. I'm out of space. So it's what
there's nothing I could do. I couldn't possibly stop ordering.
Great. This is great context to this story. So we go to Walmart. Then we're like, what are we going to do? You hungry? You want to get lunch? We decide we're going to go to the Rockaway Mall to see Batman and then grab some lunch and then figure it out what time we're going to see it in the recliners with the fucking dine-in service, whatever. We're trying to figure that out. We end up at the Cheesecake Factory, and I wore my AEW sweatshirt out today because I'm a husky man, and I don't like to wear a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It's either my hoodie or a hooded sweatshirt.
As a husky man, that story checks out. Yep.
Right? And I know I'm going to be inside, so it's like, I just got to suck it up for like the 5 minutes it takes the car to warm up, and then I'm good. So we go to Cheesecake. I go to the bathroom to take a dump, which is where I sent you. I was on Instagram. That's where I sent you that photo, that Instagram person. It took like half an hour, and they were all going, look, we did not plan on being out of the house all day, so this messed with my system, so.
It's go time.
But out of my way to the bathroom. So it was like, nice sweatshirt. Kind of aid deal. I was like, thank you, brother, whatever. And then we had time to kill. So we went up to the GameStop.
Oh, no.
I don't tell my wife when I order things, right? They just show up.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't tell me when she orders things. And that's fine. That's her money. It's her shit. So we're just looking, right? And I get it. There's fucking nobody at the mall because the goddamn pandemic. So this poor kid is working at the GameStop at the Rockaway Mall. He's tucked away in the corner somewhere.
It's also a Wednesday midday.
He's got nobody to talk to. So he sees my AEW sweatshirt, and he's like, hey, man, did you pre-order? And I'm like, yup. And my wife, like, the fucking fucking head snapped around. She was like, I don't even want to know about this. I don't even want to know. And then he started fucking wrestling with me.
Now, for those who aren't aware of those figures, Kate, GameStop did three figures and a wrestling buddy, or whatever those things are called.
A pillow friend?
Yes, more pillow friends.
A pillow biter. Pillow fighter. So they did the Jacksons, and the figures are the Jacksons and Kenny Omega, but it's in their Street Fighter outfits.
Oh, so cool. That's
the
cool.
Street Fighter. And the wrestling buddy pillow fighter is Kenny Omega in his Street Fighter costume. So they're pretty cool. But yeah, Matt, I will say, I didn't realize those were going on pre-order over the weekend. Like, I thought it was going to be another thing during the week. So when you texted me, like, I don't remember what we were doing. We were preparing to go somewhere and do something. And I'm literally in the middle of talking, and then I just stop. And I'm just like, this fucking thing. And she's like, what's going on? I was like, nothing.
And it was like early Sunday morning too. I don't know why I was up.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we were doing. We were trying to figure out like what we're going to do because we were leaving on Sunday. So it was like, okay, are we going to pack up and go get breakfast and then leave? Or are we going to, you know, leave and get breakfast and like, you know, whatever else we were going to do. So of course, in the middle of this, I'm like, this fucking app sucks.
Yeah. I had to, my wife is a wonderful woman, but if you wake her up, Beelzebub shows up.
Not good.
And we bought, when we moved, we bought like a very, it is not a great bed frame, and it fucking squeaks and it creaks. And I was in bed looking at Instagram, and I saw that they were on pre-sale, and I could not move quickly or quietly enough. And then we have to, it's like a fucking obstacle course up here. All right. Then we stop putting stuff in front of the doors because Nelly keeps trying to escape. So we now bungee cord the doors.
Sweet.
Like a little bungee because we have two doorknobs. Yep. And that way she can't push because she was pushing through. When we had put something else, she just fucking pushed through. She's an animal. Now she can't push through. Literally. So now I got to quickly and quietly get out of my super creaky bed. Then I have to quickly and quietly open the bungee cord. Hope Nelly doesn't run out onto the office landing. Hope Muda's not out on the office landing. And then I had to get on my laptop and pre-order the shit. It was a very stressful situation.
Why didn't you just do it on your phone, dude?
Because I was just like you. This motherfucker. I was fucking pacing in Walmart today. Rihanna's like, she's like looking at like all this hunting stuff like on clearance. And she's like, I'm almost done. I'm like, no. Take all the time you need. I'm like, if I finish in the queue and something goes wrong, I'm going to destroy something in this Walmart.
This is my figure collection.
Can't see. What is that?
That's my Nexus CM Punk.
Boo.
And this is the Eddie Guerrero that Matt gave me for my birthday. That's all I got.
You only have that because he's dead.
That's correct. This is worth like $250 or something. Probably more now, but my Punk Nexus one has value.
I heard it went down in value because he cried Sunday night.
No.
Asian Joe is right. My story sounds like I'm running a Black Ops mission just to buy figures.
Say that this is good and encouraging. Don't make it sound cool. It's not.
Well, cool. I want to point out most women are worried when they hear their husband making creaking sounds in bed looking at Instagram for other reasons.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I don't know if it's a reoccurring. I was
a sleep jacker.
I am or I was. I don't think it's ever happened again.
I'm going to say this, Matt. If it's happened once, you are a sleep jacker.
Yeah, there's no, you can't turn back from that.
Yeah, but I don't know. See,
oh,
I'm...
was that before Ryan's time?
Maybe. Is that before your time? Can I tell another quick story? I know we're going to talk about AEW Revolution.
We've got so much AEW to talk about, but this is a little Shining Wizard / Mark Order context here. Matt's a sleepjacker. Why don't you tell Ryan about it, Matt?
So, whatever. I wake up one morning. I go to do the farmer's market on the pizza truck. My wife is asleep, whatever. Go. I work the market. Get done, bring the truck back to the restaurant, clean it up. My wife comes in the kitchen. She's, you sleep good last night? Okay. I didn't, like, I had like 5 hours of sleep. I had to be up early. She's like, no. She like gets like, you sleep good last night? And I'm like, I don't know. What are you? She was like, you were jerking off like a maniac. I was like, what? She's like, the whole bed was shaking. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
She's I don't like, know what you do as her in that situation. Like, I would never want to wake somebody up mid-sleep, Jack. That seems like a terrible
idea. Even know if she, like, maybe it was one of those things where she just, like, pretends to be asleep. Like, when your parents are arguing and you can hear me, just pretend to be asleep. I really don't know what, you'd have to ask her. But I was like, I have no idea. She was like, it's not possible. And then I went home and Googled it. And there's like, there's people who have like, relationships have been ruined. Like, my boyfriend does it like every night.
My only hope, and we'll have to maybe ask Ree for details when we see her.
I don't need details.
No.
I have a couple questions that are really gross, but I got like,
my only hope is that she knew it was happening first because she heard Matt like some sort of weird.
She just said the bed was shaking a lot, and that's what woke her up.
OJ White.
If you're just tuning into the Mark Order podcast,
she didn't say I said anything. I don't know if I finished. I don't.
That was my question.
I don't remember. And I
check the pants.
Right, and it's not. To my knowledge, and she is not somebody who will not tell me, it hasn't happened again.
Yeah, but did she just fall asleep before you on a time?
But like, there's like, because doing it to completion versus maybe just a few minutes of like doing it is, they're very different things.
I mean, what's the point of starting the engine if you're not going to take the car out for a ride?
I can't answer because I was asleep. I don't know what was going on.
The sleepjacker sounds like a gimmick. Like, Matt, the sleepjacker.
Oh.
Doesn't it?
MBW.
Oh, hell yeah.
Alter character. That could be in the video game, Matt. Your secondary character is the sleepjacker.
No, my secondary character was the maniac. And then there was acid burn.
So you had three characters?
Yes.
Produce the MPW tapes.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Right.
For those of you listening and watching that aren't familiar, MPW is the greatest wrestling promotion of all time. That Matt was not only participating in, helped book.
I did it all.
He did it all.
Yeah, I was the booker.
Or the nookie.
Music.
Come on, the nookie. Come on. See, sir.
That was definitely an MBW theme. There's no way that wasn't.
Just a couple things I need to pull up here. Kyle K. Sparks says, of all the portmanteous, I don't know what that means, that I've ever heard, sleepjacking is one I never thought I'd use or need, so thanks for that. Mike Peterson says, tonight on the Mark Order podcast, how to sleepjack and have a good time.
Well, there's the title of the episode. Thank you.
And then Marky Mark Kayfabe does ask a good question. Wasn't sleepjack in Retribution? Wrong company, but it's very possible.
Sleepjack, flapjack, sleep, fapjack. Perfect.
Let's be clear. Sleepjack would have been in WWECW.
Oh, yeah. Very, a million percent. The one that mattered. Of course.
And it would have been over. Way over.
Yeah, probably. Good point. You know who wasn't sleepjack in Sunday night, though?
Who's that?
This guy, baby, because I was watching AEW Revolution.
What a segue.
Boy, Matt, you know how to segue, because I want to talk about Revolution.
Ryan, Kate, do you guys want to talk about Revolution, or are we just doing anything?
It doesn't matter. It's what I want.
All right. Easy, Raven.
No, I'm just kidding.
cursed. Anthony was cursed. Suck it, Ann.
You are cursed.
No.
Revolution, very nice, very evil. Yeah, I mean, how don't we talk about Revolution? Kyle's telling us what
this word means. Portmanteau, a word blending the sounds and combining. I think I need glasses too. My wife said she thinks she needs glasses, and combining the meaning of two others. Kyle's a really smart guy. He does a great. Oh, sorry, Asian Joe. What the fuck?
Stop it,
Kyle. Thank you for explaining to us,
plebes,
what the word means. Kyle's a great Ring of Honor podcast that you should check out.
Well, if you use words honor. Like that, I won't understand any of it. So
that's true. You got to dumb it down for us. Wrestling fans are mostly idiots, so
can't I use know that, words. Right?
So, guys, I don't know if we need to run the whole card here because we'll be here all night, but let's run quickly
your,
cover.
But you run your pockets. Then anyway, Asian Joe, did you tally up our picks, brother?
He did. I have them.
Ryan... Asian Joe even took mine in the chat when you guys were ignoring me like a bunch of a-holes.
Well, Ryan's got the tally, so we can hit that at the end, but let's cover the show really quick, and we'll talk about it, but we won't go through it in detail. So the pre-show had Layla Hirsch defeat Chris Statlander with some hijinks. Hook defeated QT Marshall. Did we think anything else would happen? And the House of Black defeats the Death Triangle. And that's the complete House of Black. Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews versus Death Triangle. And Eric Redbeard, who showed up on Friday night. So,
and let me tell you. Sorry to cut you off, Anthony.
Yep, go ahead.
I thought Redbeard fucking hung with these dudes. Like, I was super impressed with Redbeard. Because you put those five guys in the ring. And those are like, you know. When you see like Lucha, whatever, Penta versus Nutses, when you see him and like Pac and Buddy Matt, like, you know, we're working tonight. You got your working boots on. It's going to be fast and furious. Fucking Redbeard hung, man.
Yeah.
Him and Brody King, something I never thought I wanted to see until they fucking squared off in the ring Sunday night.
And then definitely wanted to see it.
He was apparently extremely over with the crowd, too. I'm sure that's like partly Brody Lee feelings, because I like that for me. I felt like what a beautiful sentimental moment. The last time he was there was that picture of him and John Silver just like hugging and crying. So,
yeah.
But I guess he got like a huge pop. I couldn't really tell on TV, but like a very, very favorable crowd reaction. But I agree. I thought he looked great.
Yeah, it was a surprise Friday night. Like, I had no idea that he was supposed to show up or he would be a third guy. Obviously, Phoenix is hurt, so they would have had to find a third to wrestle. So that was a nice surprise. And I don't even know if we picked all those matches. I don't know if we knew about the House of Black match, so we probably didn't pick it. But I thought it was a good pre-show. I think we will touch on the other women's matches, but I think Matt said it in our little text chat going back and forth that night that the best women's match took place in the pre-show, and I would have to agree with that.
I want to say that was Kate that said that, and I think
you doubled down on it.
Yeah,
my apologies, Kate.
Maybe I saw a tweet that Kate put out that said the same thing, but yes,
it might have been like I did say and believe that for sure, because unfortunately the other two matches weren't great. One, I just didn't like the booking of Britt and Thunder Rosa entirely. Like, I didn't like how the match was produced. And Jade and Tay never really got going for me. But Chris Statlander, I hope she gets featured a little bit more, because since she's come back from injury, she might be their most consistent in-ring worker outside of, like, Rosa. I just thought she looked great, and Layla looked awesome. She knows how to work for her size so, so well. Like, she just is such a smart wrestler for someone who is so tiny. So, I still feel that way. I think that was definitely the best women's match that we saw, unfortunately. And the other two matches were awesome as well. Hook is great. He's being built perfectly. And I thought that six man, I was like, damn, they really want us to buy this pay-per-view. Like, that was not before the show match. I was like, that was a damn pay-per-view quality match. That was so, yeah. So good. I love Penta going after Bud Matthews' eye immediately. Just like the perfect piece of storytelling to go after the eye. I was like, oh. Penta's so good, man. He knows what he's doing out there. So I loved the, that was one of the stronger buy-ins, and it had three matches on it. So that was, I thought, really good.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it tonight, but I love Abrahante's new getup.
Oh, it's a riot. I love it.
I fucking love it.
It's so good.
I'm the opposite opinion. I don't like it at all. I hate it so much.
You also don't like Jackal, so...
Yeah, Jackal's not great.
You're so wrong.
Okay. Well, let's keep going.
The sleep Jackal?
Oh, the lumberjack Jackal.
Do you not know Jackal, Kate? We'll play some off air. We can't play it here, but it's interesting to say the least. So, guys, getting to the main card of the pay-per-view, it led off with Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho. Kingston wound up winning that match. Jurassic Express wound up retaining their titles, defeating Red Dragon and the Young Bucks. In the ladder match for the Face of the Revolution, Wardlow wound up defeating Keith Lee, Powerhouse Hobbs, Starks, Orange Cassidy, and Christian Cage. We did find out Orange Cassidy did get hurt during that match, so he's going to be out for a few weeks, but no surgery. Matt's not upset at that.
Shucks.
Jade Cargill retained her title against Tay Conti. There were two amazing moments in that match. One, the Jade costume, looking like Jade from Mortal Kombat. And the smooch at the beginning. That is about as far as I got with that match.
The frog splash was cool, and the pile driver was cool.
It was good. The frog splash was good, but the match overall was not.
Yeah.
Yes, if you just had the entrance and then the last minute of the match, 5 stars easily.
Why do you not put them making out on the pre-show? Because people are going to buy if you put that on the pre-show. I'm just saying.
Buy it. And by the way, we'll go back and kind of touch on different things we want to here. I want to get through the card. Chicago Mid-Punk defeats MJF.
Mid-JF.
No, MJF, he's better than you and you know it. But he did lose in that dog collar match. Britt Baker retained her title over Thunder Rosa. Jon Moxley wound up defeating Bryan Danielson, and we had a nice little surprise there in the night too. Sting, Sammy Guevara, and Darby Allin defeated Andrade, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy. Never thought I'd say yes, a 60-year-old man diving off of an overhang at an arena through tables was a good idea, but it worked. And then our main event, Hangman Adam Page defeated Adam Cole to retain the AEW championship. So overall, it was a strong card. And I do want to call this out for you guys because I saw this today. I actually couldn't believe it, maybe because the show seemed to go so fast. The main card for the pay-per-view lasted 3 hours, 53 minutes, and 17 seconds. The list of times, bell-to-bell times for the pay-per-view for 9 matches were as follows. CM Punk, 26 minutes, 33 seconds. Hangman Page, 25 minutes, 45 seconds. Moxley, 21 minutes, 4 seconds, 18 minutes and 55 for the tag titles, 17 minutes, 25 for the ladder match, 17 minutes, 22 for the women's title, 14 minutes, 18 seconds for Jericho and Kingston, 13 minutes, 24 seconds for the Sting, Allen, and Guevara Tornado Trios match, and 6 minutes, 53 seconds for Jade Cargill versus Tay Conti. That added up to 2 hours and 41 minutes, 39 seconds of wrestling action, which is roughly 69.3% of the show. Their overall match percentage time for all 14 pay-per-views is 64%. Just to give you some comparison, the data point I couldn't believe was that the overall match time percentage for all 126 WWE pay-per-views since the start of 2013 is 53.9 minutes. So they do a lot of wrestling in the AEW.
It's a wrestling company, so
I'm just saying you get your money's worth.
They do. I will say WWE, like, usually their video package parts of it are like very, very well produced. And since they moved to monthly pay-per-views, I think they're intended to catch people up that don't watch the week-to-week product. So I don't usually have, up until probably the past 18 months or so, I haven't had an issue with the pacing of a lot of the pay-per-views. And they do it monthly as opposed to quarterly. So I feel like by nature, you're not going to have as much wrestling because you're not building all of these stories to something once a quarter. But I do prefer, obviously, like, when you're emotionally invested in a story, to just see them fucking fight, right? Like, I certainly prefer it, but I'm not totally stunned because I feel like in a monthly format and with more people that are just going to tune in for those types of things, like, it, I'm not surprised that there's like about a 10% differential, because I think they spend a lot of time catching people up to speed on the stories on the actual pay-per-view, where AEW, if you're watching AEW and you didn't see the story before it, go back and watch the episodes. You know what I mean? Like, good luck. Yeah, watch what's unfolding in front of you, because you're not going to get a lot of that. But you get the roads too and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. I mean, I just think about it from a ticket buyer perspective, right? Like,
sure.
You know, you are certainly getting your money, your value from AEW if you bought a ticket to this or any of the other pay-per-views. I feel gypped if I bought a ticket to the other monthly pay-per-view show. Anywho, just an interesting data point I wanted to read out. So, anybody, Matt, since you segued us into Revolution, what do you want to talk about? Anything here stand out for you in the night? We did have some surprises too. Let me just remind you, Swerve debuted, right? They brought out Swerve and officially said he is part of the company. We also had William Regal show up after Moxley and Bryan Danielson, which is amazing. So there was a lot of surprise mixed into this, but what stood out to you in this show, or what do you want to talk about?
I mean, I talked about it Monday night on the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast. The show was a banger. And I'm not trying to be like a sexist pig. The women's matches on the main card were bad. They were just bad, in my opinion. Those were the only two things that I was like, I got up during the fucking Jade tie match and I went and got some pizza. So I had to eat so much pizza.
I had to. It was forced. I just had no choice.
No, here's what happened, Schlong. Like, Aunt and Mrs. Money were supposed to come by. Relax. I'm not throwing you under the bus. Things change. I over-prepare. So I worked my truck event. I had to work Sunday. I came home. I recorded a bonus episode for the Wizards podcast. Then I did some stuff. I cleaned litter boxes and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to order pizza now. I go on a little website, and I go on the app, and I order some pizzas. Ryan Van Dam was supposed to come by. There was a couple. Yeah, no, things changed though, but it was too late. I ordered pizzas.
I mean,
okay, that's fair.
I did tell you too. I was like, don't count me in. It's, you know, no, unlikely.
I'm not throwing shade, as the kids say.
Oh, good one.
I'm just an over, and I am from the school of thought where it's better to have too much food than not enough food. I want to make sure my guests are full of food and jolly tidings. Lots of laughs.
Okay.
I ate a lot of pizza. Rihanna came home and she was like, you sure nobody else has been here? I'm like, no. She's like, you ate a lot of pizza. I'm like, oh, I know. It's been it was spaced out.
You could freeze that pizza too. It's fine.
Yeah, don't worry. It's all gone now.
You're doing your yoga.
I haven't done yoga in like a week and a half. I thought, put it in a text with you guys, I thought the Jericho, Kingston, and the tag match might be the best 1-2 combo in any wrestling pay-per-view. Like, it was just bang, bang, and then you throw the ladder match in at 3. which kind of slowed down a little bit, and I understand why, because they have to set spots up and stuff, but I still thought that was good. Punk MJF was amazing. I have to choose my words carefully here.
Okay.
I try not to spend a lot of time on Twitter. The outrage that people have over things. Like, if you're legit upset that you don't understand the significance of CM Punk using AFI, you're literally on a gadget. You're literally on a gadget where you could just fucking Google it.
Matt, can I agree with you. So I just want to point out something. I was not watching ROH when Punk was there. I have not watched, gone back and watched it. So I haven't seen that. You know how I knew the significance? About 30 seconds into his entrance, maybe less, Excalibur goes, "This is Punk's theme from ROH when he was in a dog collar match that time." So you didn't even need your phone because they told you within 30 seconds why it was important. Not to mention, MJF had just used his theme. So, like, there was a whole plan there. He got it
again, right?
Yeah.
And he came out in the gym shorts. Like, how oblivious do you have to be to the AEW product to not have seen all of the, like, flashback stuff of Punk in his gym shorts and his ROH days? Like, the dorkiest shit. People
plus
are just
the storytelling the whole way.
Yeah. Like, you know, this is where them having the library is going to be so good, is, like, people will be talking about, like, oh, they're referencing that match in ROH, and you could just, they'll be able to say, want to see the last time CM Punk was in a dog collar match? Click here. Like, I think that'll be really, really good, but people
they're just... all just nothings from nowhere.
That was a good shot. So I thought the dog collar match delivered. Danielson and Mox was awesome. The Regals thing was great. The six-man tag fiasco was like it was in the perfect spot.
Yep.
Like, you just need it, like, and I don't mean this you needed a throwaway match.
Yeah.
Where Sammy does something stupid and he makes the fucking, because he's crazy. Him and Tay are crazy. Fucking hand job. And then Sting jumped off the balcony and I'm in my living room screaming, he's fucking 65 years old. What are you doing? And then Paige and Cole was beautiful. It was so, it was like an unbelievable pay-per-view. If you're not watching because you're like, fucking, I watch WWE and I can't watch anything else, like, you got to take off those fucking rose-colored glasses, bro. Just fucking look, if you watch it and you don't like it, at least you tried. That's like saying, I don't like fucking cabbage. I just don't like it. Well, you don't fucking know. Eat the fucking cabbage. And if you throw up on my table, then I know you don't like cabbage. And if you eat it, then you like cabbage. Just fucking why? If you're a wrestling fan, how do you do a disservice to yourself like this and not watch? This was an amazing show.
Couldn't agree
more. Amazing.
Couldn't agree more. Kate, what do you want to talk about since you're a Chicago mid-punk mark and an Eddie Kingston mark?
I am both of those things. Piggybacking off of Matt's point, Punk said it in the press conference really well, which was that, like, there are fans that just don't have any desire to go see stories told a different way. And, like, you're missing out on so much magic. But I liked the way that he phrased that, because it's like the perfect thing of, it like makes you uncomfortable to see things done differently than that you've seen it the past 2 decades, 3 decades, whatever. So, but yeah, I mean, I agree with you. That's why when, for me, I pulled one thread in the whole thing unraveled, I wanted to see how New Japan does it. I wanted to see how MLW does it. I don't want to right now because MLW is bad, but like, I, how it's done on the indies, like, that's the type of fan I am across any art form, though. So that's just like me. Pay-per-view was great. You know, I had said previously that I was like, All Out was surprises, Full Gear was in ring. I was like, I feel like this is going to be a little bit of both. And it kind of was. The only thing that I didn't like about it, both of the women's matches were bad for different reasons. I think Thunder Rosa and Britt is going to be a little more forgivable with what we get in a week from now. I think that's going to be a really special moment. Her going over in her hometown in a steel cage, I think, is going to be big. But there are better ways to do it than this. I do know that Fightful reported that they switched the end of this match a bunch of times, and it definitely felt that way because there were just like psychology gaps too, like where the hell was Mercedes Martinez, like things like that. So that match was just bad. Jade and Ty, I think, are just both on the greener side and never really had good chemistry. This was the only card that I felt like the sequencing did a little bit of damage. I think you got to keep Mox and Danielson and the dog collar matches at separate ends of the card a little bit. I probably would have put on Mox and Danielson like closer to the ladder match, just because I felt like they were similarly paced and similarly kind of violent. And I think Mox and Danielson suffered a little bit from that, but like Regal coming out, like I want to go watch after the dog collar match. I want to watch the rest of that pay-per-view again, because I think I was just like, oh my God, after that a little bit, like the blow off was so emotional and exhausting. I assumed William Regal was going to show up. I think he's the perfect guy to lead ROH, but I definitely didn't see it coming here. And like him entering the way he did, just slapping the shit out of those two guys. Like, it was like he's been in AEW this whole time, the way he walked in there. Like, I love the guy, and I love seeing him there. And I love how quickly he entered the story as if he had always been a part of it. And we got more of that tonight. Main event, I felt like, was fantastic. I thought it was such a well-told story. The tag match, phenomenal. I felt like all three teams were great, and they all worked different styles. I felt like the Bucks were on a different level than we've even seen them before. And Eddie and Jericho, I was so surprised when they opened the card, but I was so happy because I was like, holy crap, they're going to put Eddie over. Like, initially, I was like, well, maybe he'll get Jericho the second time around or whatever, but for Jericho to tap in that particular submission too, my God. And to see Eddie go over, and Eddie's reaction where he couldn't believe he won, because he's never won the big one. He like was so stunned by it. I just loved that. I loved that storytelling. And that sixth man, like Matt said, was just like Sting is 63 and jumping off of balconies onto tables, and Sammy Guevara, crazy ass, like his crazy ass did a Spanish fly onto the tables, onto the stage, which was an insane spot. So well-paced, chaotic, fun. Whole pay-per-view was great. Whole pay-per-view was great. I thought it was really, really well done, but you keep waiting for one that's going to be like a little bit down, and it just hasn't been the case. And I don't have reason to believe it's going to be anytime soon. Like, it's great stuff. I felt like the one problem that they had was how crowded their roster was getting, and now they bought ROH. So I feel like that's going to be getting alleviated very, very soon, which makes me happy.
Kate, how are you dealing with this infighting on Twitter between CM Punk and Eddie Kingston?
I'm handling it well, because I just feel like I can understand both of their sides.
And I think Punk got him when he said, he said, I know you're not used to winning, but usually you go to Disney World. And I'm paraphrasing.
It's a good point. I love Cabana and I love Punk, and they've been in very real different sides. So I've had to understand the other side. But I think Eddie Kingston is coming back for Punk once Punk wins that championship from Hangman Adam Page. That's what I think.
Ooh. Hey, just a note too on Regal. The thought is he's going to contribute a little bit on screen and off screen. Some quotes, I guess, from the post-media scrum. Cocaine Cowboy Tony Khan said, "I think he can contribute on screen in a major way to Danielson, and he has a history with Moxley. Some of the last matches we saw Regal wrestle were against Moxley. They had a great rivalry. He's very familiar with both men, and they have a lot of respect for him. We saw that after the violence and the way they bled together. They built a lot of mutual respect with each other. That's very exciting." He also went on to say, while he didn't confirm kind of what his role was going to be with the company, he said, "It was very surprising to see he had been released and would be available. I have tons of respect for his mind, and I think he's going to be a valuable person in AEW. Behind the scenes, I think Lord Regal can teach all of us, everyone here, a lot. It's great to have him here on screen and off screen. It came together very recently, and he fits very well in with what we're doing." So
that is the most insane thing in the world to me. I'm sorry to cut you off, but like,
yeah, of, I mean, of, it apparently any, isn't thing that
just of anybody that's been released in the past 2 years, he's like the one more than any on-screen talent that you don't want going to AEW if you're WWE, in my opinion. Like, the amount of people that said there would be no Becky Lynch without William Regal, there would be no FTR without William Regal. Like, the not just the respect, but like the acknowledgement from every star, not every, but like pretty much any star in wrestling that like had worked with Regal was like, this guy's the reason I'm where I'm at today. Like, how did you not just relegate that guy to NXT UK and let him like hang out in the UK until he felt like retiring? Like, it just, it blows my mind that they let him go. And I'm just assuming that Triple H is sitting at home crying at this point, because like, what, literally all of his friends and everybody he created is now in AEW. So
he's gone. Yeah.
It's nuts. It's nuts. I'm just so like selfishly happy for myself, because I feel like NXT, when it was in its prime before AEW, before they moved from the network, really was my favorite wrestling television. And to me, it felt like ROH with William Regal in a production budget. And now we have ROH and William Regal in a production budget. So I'm like, it's just very, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see what's going to happen.
Well, Schlong, you saw the pay-per-view as well. What did you think of the show?
I loved everything about it. I'm a real boy.
I'm a real boy.
Wow. Wow. You really popped yourself with that one.
I don't know why you're Pinocchio all of a sudden.
I don't that's care. Where... No, I'm confused on that one myself.
I mean, that's where my reaction's kind of stunned. I don't know where Pinocchio came from.
Because you lie about your WWE CW knowledge.
Never. There's no audio or visual
proof.
That's
a story for a different time.
Anyway, that's true. Everyone's made good points. I mean, this is kind of the question is, sometimes is the pay-per-view too good? Like, there's no... Now, the women's matches ended up struggling, but overall, there's no down periods. You're just constantly, like, seeing awesome match after awesome match. I think sometimes that hurts some matches because they're great on their own, but you just saw something else that was great. So it definitely deserves a rewatch. Like, some of the ones that I didn't enjoy as much, not say didn't enjoy, but I feel like I'll enjoy even more because of the pace. The women's matches were the Rosa Britt one, I think Kate said it best. That felt like a match where they changed the outcome. That felt like a match where they made a last minute change, because that's usually when you get that kind of interference, is when someone doesn't know what to do, but they want to get to a different conclusion. So they just go, everybody jumping in the ring.
It's like a fucking evil match in New Japan. It's too much. Sick of it.
I agree with that. And Jade's match wasn't great. The only thing I like about it is at least they're having her take some abuse in matches, like take a beating. She's just not dominating everyone, which makes that title feel a little bit better. Punk, I mean, I'm not gonna keep, you guys talked enough about Punk and MJF. That was awesome. I think Jericho and Eddie Kingston might be the biggest surprise to me. I did not expect to like that match as much as I did. The story told in that match was amazing, and just start off with the suplex onto the neck was just such a great way to start that match off, and to end it with that submission of all submissions. When the hell is the last time that submission won a match? And then the ladder match, I was really worried Sammy got hurt on that, and then I was really worried that Ricky Starks got hurt in his match. And then I was really worried. Sorry, Sammy wasn't ladder match. Sammy was the trios. Match.
Tornado trios.
Then the ladder match was where Ricky got hurt in his match, and then Orange did get hurt because Keith Lee is so strong that he threw him past the waiting arms of everyone else. I do like it made no sense to have Wardlow go out and attack everyone, but I understand they were trying to get to a story, which was why didn't Keith Lee win? Because you don't want to bring a guy in and have him instantly lose, and that made sense. My problem coming out of that is Wardlow's story is obviously should not be with a TNT title belt. So do you have, we could talk about later when we talk about the outcome of tonight, but I just feel like I get why he had to win. Like, it was the image. But part of me also wonders, like, did you waste that win now? Because I don't think he should have that belt, because I think his feud with MJF, it shouldn't have a belt to it.
If I may.
Yeah, I can see you.
I don't want to jump ahead, but I definitely don't think he walks out next week as the TNT champion.
Me neither. That's what I mean, though. Like, now, granted, you could say that, I guess, anyone who won probably wouldn't walk out next week with champion based on tonight. So I guess you're not wasting it, but it's whoever's going to get
it. Scorpio won it last year, and he lost the week right after the pay-per-view.
Yeah, you're right. So
look, it's all the story. So the story in turn is going to be MJF saying, you'll never win it, and then he wins it, and then MJF fucks him because Wardlow fucked him against Punk.
That's true. I fully expected the story to be that Wardlow's going to win. Shawn Spears comes out to quote-unquote help him, ends up costing Wardlow, and then that would be the thing. So it was a little surprising to see they didn't even need that to have Wardlow turn. That moment where he puts the ring on the mat, like when the fans in the arena understood what was happening, the way the noise just rose, like when they fully understood, like, oh no, he turned. This was his turn. Amazing. Shows it how well that story's been told. I'm trying to pick on points that you guys didn't cover because there was just, there's so much good that went on. It's funny, the tag title match was really good, but doesn't seem to get any talk because there was just so much else that was awesome. I'll say this
to piss off Matt. I feel like in the ladder match, Orange Cassidy had a couple of the best spots. I felt like him skinning the cat up onto the ladder was one of the coolest things I've seen in a wrestling ring in a long, long, long time. And him taking those vicious kicks out on those three hosses at the same time. I mean, what a feat of strength.
Doesn't make me mad. He had a lot of good hope spots.
He did. He actually really did. That was what produced.
I don't want anyone to get hurt. It's a shame he really got hurt.
Yeah.
There's no shot pockets was winning that.
No, not at all.
So there's nowhere else in the show to put this. But it does apply to Revolution. So I'm going to ask. So in Revolution, we had Keith Lee lose because Wardlow took him and Hobbs out, right? But realistically, him and Hobbs were going at it. And you have Ricky Starks just signed and debut, who walked out at Revolution was Swerve. The first feud is never going to be your major feud. Do they bring in Swerve initially to help out Lee against Ricky Starks?
No, I feel like the story with Lee is that you don't need that. Like, I think he's just such a freaking monster.
He's got a big back. You heard him say it tonight.
That's so funny.
You don't need nobody to watch it, son.
I agree. The only reason I say that is because if the other side was Ricky Starks and Isaiah Cassidy, there's no doubt. But you're talking there's another hoss on the other side. I mean, you're talking Hobbs, who's been well protected.
Nah, I think Keith Lee can yeet Hobbs and Starks at the same time. So
If he yeets Hobbs, I will lose my fucking mind.
You'll be upset if Keith Lee beats Hobbs?
No, yeets. If he picks him up and tosses, I will lose my mind in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna write that down. Yeets. Is that what it's called?
A yeet bomb, yeah. Yeets him out of the ring.
A yeet bomb.
Y-E-E-T, like the kids say.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I was going with Kate, and I knew what she meant, so let's work. If he can toss Hobbs like that, that'll be the greatest thing ever. So I like the story coming out of there. I think they set up their future pretty well, too, because nothing, for the exception of the Rosa Britt match, where I think they already planned their make good, there was no outcome in there where you're like, what the fuck just happened? Everything, whether it was what you thought would happen or not, at least made sense. That's the most you can ask for conclusions in a pay-per-view. Can I get some logic?
The last thing that I'll say about it is this is probably the most exciting pay-per-view that I've seen where the titles didn't change hands. No title changed hands, but pretty much all the stories wound up. And I think that is like a very clean way to exit a pay-per-view. Like, I don't know, but it gets much better than that. Like, to have a really thrilling pay-per-view where no titles change hands, I think is something that's very difficult to accomplish, but is possible with clean storytelling and a lot of things kind of like got wrapped up. So,
can we please go to Saturday pay-per-views?
Yes.
Please, God. I don't mind the length if it's a Saturday.
But there was there a UFC on Saturday? Yeah. That's why they moved it, right? So, yeah, I don't disagree with it. What's that?
Anthony, what are your thoughts on the pay-per-view, buddy?
Oh, I was going to get there. Listen, I thought that this... Thank you, Matt.
I don't know. You do all the, like, shucking and jiving, so I figured, like, I'd throw it to you. Shucking
and jiving?
Hey, like, hey, Kate, what do you think? Hey, da-da-da-da-da. Going to Matt. All right, Schlong, you're up next. Hey, what do you say?
Mark, where did you become a radio DJ? Hey, it's me, Amp Money Unk, A101.5. Oh, yeah. We're here on the sixes. Gonna do some traffic now.
Like, Kate, we'll play you some Jackal on the ride home.
It's okay. We're not going to play Jackal. I promise.
I would definitely take a strike against us to play some Lumberjack.
No, please, no. Let's waste it on something worth it.
Watch your goddamn whore mouth. Son of a bitch.
And what did you think of the pay-per-view?
I will tell you, but I need Kate, you and Ryan to know that every time I'm listening to something on Sirius XM now, like usually it's Ozzy's Boneyard or one of the, you know, like 80s metal stations or something like that, right? Anytime now Jackal's on, Matt gets a screen cap. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
You do it to yourself. If you didn't doesn't like
get
it,
any better.
To it. Well, what am I you know it's that you know it's coming. The Sirius playlist is not some deep cuts bullshit. They play the same fucking 13 songs every hour. You know it's coming.
I do have to talk to somebody about their programming. I have issues with Lithium. I have issues with some of their other music channels. Things are way out of fucking format, and somebody should be reprimanded for that. Anyway, the pay-per-view for me, I thought it was extremely successful, and I agree with what everybody said on pretty much everything, and that's not meant to be a cop-out. The two openers, as Matt said, I think I texted the group after the first match and I said, well, what are they going to follow this up with? How are they going to slow this down? And they go right into the tag match. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So I think it was as strong as a 1-2 match as you could pull up on some other really big pay-per-view cards. Those were excellent matches. Ladder match I thought worked. We knew how it was probably going to go, but the stories here worked out. I agree the fact that both women's matches I didn't love, and I texted the same thing here. I was like, I am not in on this Jade match, and I am not loving this Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match. And not because I figured the matches were going to go the way they did. It really just was, they didn't have anything going on there to get me interested. So, you know, I agree with all that. The CM Punk MJF dog collar match was perfect. I never thought I'd see CM Punk bleed like that again after he just did it Wednesday night, but it was really successful to me. And I'm sort of with Ryan. Like, I didn't really know about all of the Ring of Honor stuff, but I knew enough from the storytelling they were doing that everything CM Punk was going to do would have some callback to his Ring of Honor days. It just, that's the way this whole story was told. And I thought it was done beautifully. Moxley Danielson, great with the surprise coming in at the end with Regal. I didn't see that coming, so that was a nice swerve. The Tornado Trios, you know, I'm kind of with Matt. It was a train wreck. It was supposed to be, but the moment Sting got up on that overhang or whatever it was, I was probably just like Matt, standing in my living room saying, you don't need to do this. And that's not a lie. I'm pretty sure I was standing, but maybe not yelling, because I think Gina was sort of nodding off.
Did at least land well, and Andrade protected the fuck out of him. He landed on like the surface area part of the table, but I was doing the same thing at home. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so much can happen here in your 65, please. And then the main event, the championship match, was just fantastic. I love both of those guys, both of the Adams. I thought it was fun too, where the chants from the crowd, let's go Adam, Adam sucks.
The dueling Adam chants.
Usually I would hate that, but the fans weren't doing it here to be assholes. They were doing it because they were really loving what they were seeing and trying to have a good time. They weren't trying to hijack it. So, at least to me. So I thought it was perfect. Listen, the stories, we will talk about Dynamite, but clearly this is a reset point for them, right? I think we all kind of knew that first pay-per-view of the year, they've got to build to Double or Nothing, and then they've got to eventually get to All Out at the end of the year. So they're going to be switching gears here, and we'll definitely talk about it. but I thought this was a really successful pay-per-view from start to finish. A couple blemishes in the middle, but nothing really to make me say this sucked. I thought it was a lot of fun. And Ryan, I think you had it pulled up here. Do we have a final tally?
I do. It took me a while to figure this out.
I went 10-1 on the Wizards.
I did not do well. Oh, not as bad as I thought, though.
This is, by the way, I did not do this graphic. I got to give this to Asian Joe. This was his. He sent it to me. So
he picked a picture where my bangs look great and Matt's picture where he is topless at a baseball game. Sweet. Asian Joe, graphic design is his passion.
I would love to know what matches I lost.
Me so too. I know.
Because I can't so remember.
For those listening, Ant won at 9-2. Mm-hmm. Matt and I tied at 8-3, and Kate came in last at 7-4.
Fucking loser.
Oh, I might
maybe have... Kate shouldn't have picked fucking Claudio to win the goddamn ladder match.
We picked them before Rampage. I thought a fun thing was gonna happen. Relax.
You always gotta go for the like crazy ones. Oh, it's gonna be Claudio.
Not that crazy. He would be a fun guy to have in that match.
They said there were 6 people.
They said there were 7, and then there was a qualifying match that happened on Friday. I thought maybe we'll get a fun Rampage debut.
I have who got what.
Go ahead, Ryan.
So you three all got Chris Statlander versus Layla Hirschwrong. I got that right.
Oh, that's right. We picked Stat.
Yes. Kate got the ladder match wrong. Is there music playing?
Yeah, I just played some music.
Okay.
It's good production.
Ann is the only one who got John Moxley versus Brian Danielson, right?
That's the only one I lost on the Wizards.
Ant and I both got the CM Punk MJF one wrong. Kate and I both got Thunder Rosa winning wrong. Matt chose Red Dragon to win the tag title, so he lost there.
Yeah.
Dope.
They seem to be I'm trying to think. I'm looking just for big differences. They seem to be the big ones. Kate really let us all down with that ladder match pick.
Boy.
Why? You guys have the lead. Why do you give a shit?
Bonehead pick. Well, we don't.
Easy, Tiger.
But Ant made his win by being the only one to predict John Moxley winning.
Look at that.
Touché.
I mean, we can't all be that good.
Listen, bitch, I went 10-1 on the Wizards, okay? I know it doesn't
matter.
This
isn't the fucking Wizards. This is the A show. The Shining Wizards is the B show.
I'm sorry. Was your guest next week on Dynamite tonight?
Did you know he was going to be on Dynamite?
I know all.
Wait,
no, you didn't. You lying sack of shit.
What are you talking about these other shows? What are we on, some network of some sort?
You know, Kate, it's funny enough. I think Matt actually has a few words to say about these other shows that we're not aware of.
Surprisingly, I have tons of words to say because I am just diarrhea of the mouth. Not diarrhea of the butt, like some people might have. I like this. Whatever this is, let it roll, baby. We at the Mark Order Podcast are part of the Shining Wizards Network. Go there at shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Home to a variety of the best shows in the podcasting game. Of course, The Shining Wizards, the podcast I'm part of every Monday night. Our latest episode is available over there. We got to talk with Carl Fredericks from the New Japan LA Dojo. If you're familiar with New Japan Pro Wrestling, you'll see him on New Japan Strong. And if you go back a couple of years, he won the Young Lions Cup in 2019. It's a fantastic conversation. And we find out Carl Fredericks is a degenerate just like the rest of us and enjoys making terrible decisions on his Saturday and Sunday afternoons, which leads to many Jaeger shots and lots of fun stories. So definitely check that out. We're also home to the Midnight Jury, their latest episodes. They do a watch along, the worst movie they've ever reviewed, VHS Night on the Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. So check that out. Everything 80s and 90s over at the Midnight Jury. The Inconclusive Breakdown, I mentioned them last week. They rolled out their latest episode, From Russia with Love, their top 10 movie brothers, your questions, and much more. Check them out. They also talk Revolution, Ring of Honor. They do some Pfizer talk. I don't know what they're talking about on Pfizer, but check it out. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, a great podcast with Phil, and Choppy. Choppy's back, that fucking goblin. And they are talking AEW Revolution Preview. They're talking Undertaker WWE. They're talking NWA. Check them out over on the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestle Night in Canada. They are doing the Battle of the Big Men. A pro wrestling conversation over there from our brothers up north. So check that out. The Ringside Rant, their latest episode. They're talking March 3rd, 1997, Monday Night Raw. That's an episode from Berlin, Germany. And there's a great opener between Bret Hart and a very young Triple H. So check that out. And last but certainly not least, Radioactive Metal. If you're into Jackal, which Anthony will probably say is not heavy metal, but it falls into the genre. Okay, it's on Ozzy's Boneyard. And Ozzy's the fucking godfather of metal. So you're shaking your head down there. Check it out. Radioactive Metal, episode 691. They're from Canada, so they're talking about the Juno Awards, if you know what that is. And they're talking about Hard Rock Heavy Metal Album of the Year. So check that out. All great shows, all great content, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Of course, home to the Mark Order Podcast. You can get this episode and all past Mark Order Podcast episodes there. Go back, listen to them. Get yourself ready for our one-year anniversary show in 2 weeks. We're going to do nothing.
More of what we do here every week. Nothing.
Bring it back to the four of us. How do you like the live reads?
They seem to be very over in the chat. Rob Humphrey likes them. You know that much. And we were told last week or the week 2 weeks ago that people like the live read more. And I said, I'm not fucking doing a live read because I don't have all the information Matt does. So thanks, Matt.
Oh, it's easy. Just go to the website, shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Nope. No, never. Nope.
You've never been.
Nope.
It's a beautiful, beautiful website. Check it out. It's a little archaic, but check it out.
Beautiful website. It's archaic, but it's beautiful.
Check it out. You're not going there to look at pictures. You're going there to listen. It doesn't have to look fancy.
And learn.
I don't know about the learning part.
Matt said that like it's his favorite diner. Like, you've never been? Like,
yeah.
Oh, you've never been to the Shining Wizards website?
No, honey.
I went to the diner last night.
How was it?
It was fantastic. I also got mocked by my wife. I don't know a lot about rap.
Okay.
But we watched
the Shocking.
I listened to rap when I was in like middle school. So like the good rap, I like the good rap. Like I can tell you about 90s R&B and rap, like
ICP.
I became a juggalo after middle school, but like Snoop and Dre and Tupac and the Wu-Tang Clan. So we watched this Kanye West.
Vanilla Ice.
No, not Vanilla Ice, man. Come on. Don't mock. It's not
Deion Sanders.
He is a football player who had his toes amputated.
Not true. He did a rap album.
He also had his toes amputated.
I know that, but he also did a rap album.
Shaq has an album Rock. Too.
Yeah.
Macho Man.
No sex in that champagne room.
I can't believe, Matt, you don't have a Hatchet Man tattooed on you somewhere.
I don't have a Hatchet Man tattooed on me.
Wait, Matt, you were telling a story about the diner.
Yes, well, I was telling. So we watched this Kanye West documentary, and then Monday it was nice, so I reverted back to Lumberjack Matt and decided I was going to chop some wood. And then I decided I was going to listen to some rap that I perhaps wasn't familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in Mos Def.
Mos Def?
Mos Def, right.
You fucking idiot.
Funny enough, that's the same reaction my wife gave me.
I don't listen to rap. Did you Mos Def?
Did you listen to Megan Thee Stallion?
No, I did not listen to Meg Thee Stallion. I wanted to listen to the people that were in the Kanye documentary because they sounded like they were.
Oh, okay.
They were very instrumental in the R&B, rap, hip hop movement of the early 2000s.
I don't hear a lot of Mos Def in Kanye West, but
okay. Well, he was a producer. He was a producer of a lot of his music and Jay-Z's and Common's.
You mean the early stuff that was much better than the fucking Donda shit he's putting out?
I don't know shit. I wouldn't know Kanye West if I fucking tripped over him, okay?
Not true.
It is true. I have fucking no idea. I watched this documentary. He looked different in every fucking scene. He grew. He put weird shit in his head. Mm-hmm. Then he shaved it all off. Then he put crazy designs. And I didn't know who he was.
Well, now you could find him following around fucking Pete Davidson with a knife in his back pocket.
Fucking psycho.
He's crazy. Yeah,
Mos Def.
Most
spelled like that.
Def. M-O-S. Most yeah,
I think I said Mose, like Mose from The Office.
No, you said Moz.
No, to when I was telling my wife.
Oh, my God.
I just want to point out, though, William Villanueva pointed out that Mos Def is a Peruvian rapper. So there you go.
There you go.
Maybe you were listening to the wrong guy, Matt.
No, I enjoyed better. I chopped a lot of wood.
How many cords did you cut?
Lumberjackal, Matt.
I did. I don't know about cords. I don't know how to measure in cords, Ant Money, but I cut a good amount, and I had to rearrange the way the lumber was stacked and fix the tarp because I kind of put it on like an idiot, so I had to fix that, which was good because it got really fucking windy the last couple of days. So,
do you also sleep, Jack, like a lumberjack?
Kate, I can't answer that question because I didn't know I was a sleepjacker.
Okay.
Prior to being told I was a sleepjacker, I don't know if I still have sleepjacking tendencies.
Kate, he sleepjacks while listening to Lumberjack by Jackal.
Boom.
A lot of jacks.
Yeah, lots of great Lumberjacks, Jackal songs. The Lumberjack, She Loves the Cock.
You know who had a lumberjack in his entrance video? William Regal.
He's a man's man. And Grizzly Redwood, I believe, and if Kyle is still here, he might be able to back me up on this. Pretty sure in Ring of Honor, Grizzly Redwood used the lumberjack as his entrance music.
I thought Ryan was going to say Darby Avant-Garde. I was did I miss something with the flamethrower? Yeah.
You know what? Fuck that shit, too. Seriously. Just fucking go out there and wrestle, dude. It's a funeral. He's in a fucking pickup truck. He crashes it into a pile full of cars. This thing has a fucking flame. What are we doing here? What's going on?
He has to be an artiste, my man.
It would have made sense if fucking Sting wasn't already out in the ring.
Ply your trade in the ring. Paint me a beautiful doo-doo art picture on the mat.
Doo-doo art picture. All right.
Doo-doo. I'll say this. Doo-doo. There is nobody else in wrestling doing it. I don't like it either. It's not for me. But there's nobody else in wrestling doing it. And I did see a funny tweet from a man named Robert O'Neill who said, who pointed out that if Sting had a flamethrower, he should just use it, like in the match. Like, why wouldn't you just come down to the ring with it?
Well, that would be murder.
Music, well, it's a tornado tag. You know, you can like switch it up a little bit.
No. That'd be like bringing a gun to the ring. That's just murder.
Would it be murder or attempted murder?
Attempted.
I'm pretty sure if you hit them with the flamethrower, they die.
I don't know. You ever seen a burn victim, bro?
Stop, drop, and roll, man.
No lips.
Yeah, they survive.
Drop.
Not everyone.
Shut them down. Open up shop.
They ruin a lot of family photos.
Oh, my God.
It's a rough ride.
Guys, guess what we have today?
Rankings!
AIDS.
We do have rankings. Let's run through the rankings real quick.
Okay, please. Dante Martin, number 2. Yes.
Matt got that one right.
I know.
Our men's division, 1, Wardlow. 2, Dante Martin. 3, Adam Cole.
Baby!
Somebody does it. Lance Archer, number 4. And Powerhouse Hobbs, number 5.
Were you guys disappointed he didn't wear his fun overalls into the ladder match?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Does he... He never wears overalls to the ring and then...
No, but he's got to get gear that looks like overalls.
I mean, he's got a fucking... Fuck, I can't
Singlet.
Think of it. Singlet. Okay,
reach out to Rob Van Dam's people and tell them.
Reach out, touch me.
Daddy, you got to give me...
Why is Dusty doing it?
Seriously, what the fuck is happening?
Daddy. Anyway,
go on to the tag team.
In the tag division, number 1, The Acclaimed, 2, The Gun Club or the Ass Boys, 3, Private Party. I'm sorry, 3. Oh my God, is that Private Party? Yes, they're number 3. Number 4, Dark Order. That's Silver and Reynolds. And number 5, FTR.
Cool. Why did we not get a Reynolds or Colt Cabana figure?
Don't know. It's a good question. Don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
All right.
And in the women's division, whoa, sorry.
Oh, come on. What is this, your first day?
In the women's division, number one, Layla Hirsch. Two, yeah. Thunder Rosa. Three, hello. Serena Deeb, the professor.
Who's that four, number four?
Anna Jay.
I couldn't see.
You know who number five is down here?
It looks like Red Velvet.
That is Red Velvet.
I really thought Anna Jay looked like Paige Van Zandt, and I was going to throw my laptop into the street.
Nope.
It's you just wouldn't Anna have Jay. A record.
Exactly.
So, guys, let's talk about Dynamite tonight, because it was the reset button for a lot of stuff that we've been talking about here over the past couple months. So we open up and Jericho makes his entrance, and he says that Revolution was one of the greatest nights of his career, and even though his neck is sore and he lost by tapping out to the Stretch Plum, it's one of the best matches he's ever had, and maybe the best he's had in AEW. And he thanks Eddie for that, for awakening something that he hasn't, that he wasn't sure he still had. When it came down, yes, Matt, sorry.
Could there be a worse name for a move than the Stretch Plum?
I mean, I don't make the names up, I just read them.
What's a Stretch Plum?
They can't all be the Sleepjack, you know?
Oh,
true. Honestly, think about it though. He was trying to put him to sleep and jack in that neck. Would have worked.
Isn't a plum a fruit?
It is, or you can also plumb, like when you're putting pipes in that run water or waste away from your house.
Or another nickname for testicles, plums.
It's true.
So you could stretch the testicles.
He wasn't stretching his testicles though.
I know. I'm helping.
It's a terrible name.
It is.
Yeah. I'm not gonna deny
it. It's a cool fucking move though.
Sure, it should have a cool name.
It should be called the Sleepjack.
Not Stretch Pipe, Stretch Plum, Stretch Nuts.
Redeem these Stretch Nuts.
So,
are you going to read everything?
No, can I fucking get to it?
I can't Jesus read anything Christ at this rate.
You're stopping me to complain about the name of a move that I don't fucking control. I'm just telling you what
I
did.
We have some that dialogue we're not here. About
you let know, me we get, talk.
Let me get through it, Matthew. Reading?
All right, continue to read.
So he said that he didn't. He refused to shake Eddie's hand. And he wants to make up for it, so he invites Eddie to the ring. Is that a? Would you like to comment on that?
Oh,
you're what? Just ringing a bell to ring a bell.
Yeah, it was like the explanation point at the end of your sentence. Oh. He invited him to the ring.
Okay. So Eddie talks about how he lost to Mox and to Danielson and to Punk, but four separate people came up to him and told him they didn't end themselves because of his Players Tribune article.
What?
He knew there was no way he wasn't going to make it to the match. And after the match, he went to his hotel room and cried because he wanted to make those people proud. And all Eddie can say is that if you were at the fan fest, he hopes he did you proud. And now the handshake wasn't for him. He didn't need that. Winning the match was what he needed. The handshake was for Jericho. As we start to kind of get to it here, Jericho admits, you know, hey, you know, I have the utmost respect for you. What is going on?
Matt just is salivating at the possibility of interrupting you, and I'm telling him to stop. I said, don't you dare.
I asked you if you were going to read the whole interview, and you said no, but you're reading it.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Okay, you want me to talk about how he mentioned the J-Cup and Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko? Because I cut all of that out.
So you are reading.
Yeah.
We're losing viewers the more you read, just so you know. The number keeps going down, buddy.
Good for you.
No,
good
not
for the viewers.
It's not good for the viewers. Want entertainment. Are you not entertained?
I'm not. This
give
will take
the
4 hours.
People what they want.
So, Matt, they get to the end here, and Jericho extends his hand, and they shake hands. And that's when 2.0 and Daniel Garcia interrupt. And they attack Kingston and Jericho. But then Ortiz and Santana come down to make the save, with Santana holding Garcia in place, and Jericho is given the bat by Ortiz because they came down with a bat. And as Santana's holding Garcia, Jericho swings and attacks Santana and Ortiz with the bat. There goes Matt. He complains and then he just fucking leaves. What a guy.
Typical Matt.
Seriously. So Jericho is now beating down Santana and Ortiz with the bat. It looks like he is now on the side of 2.0 and Garcia. Hager comes down to look like he's going to make the save, quite honestly. But then he sides with Jericho and 2.0, and he starts to beat down Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston. That's when Jericho takes the butt of the bat and hits Kingston in the head with it. We have a table set up on the outside of the ring. Hager struggles to get up Kingston, but does eventually powerbomb him through the table. And that's when Jericho grabs the mic and introduces us to his new group. I do not love this name. The Jericho Appreciation Society. And he says, "That's entertainment." And they flip the bird to the camera, very much like the Inner Circle.
Jazz
and we get a video package after that. So, guys, I mean, they take off their vests for the Inner Circle. They kind of throw them down on Santana and Ortiz. Looks like the Inner Circle is a dunzo officially, but who knows? We could be wrong. What did we think about this? So I mean, let me before I get to the thoughts on this, we've been talking about officially breaking up the Inner Circle. We've been talking about the day when Jericho makes the full turn back to a heel, and we do all of that in one night. Do we like this? Again, barring the name, which I think could use some work. What did we think about this? Are we happy now that this is finally happening? Let's go with Ryan first, who's doing jazz hands.
Jazz hands, because they're jazz. Yeah, I actually really like this. I mean, it's what we wanted. Santana and Ortiz are officially away from Jericho. I like them with Kingston because LAX, go for it. Jericho's way better as a heel, so that's, sexy me. So that's better.
That's so great if you're listening in audio form, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't. Sorry, guys. They've just put me on the screen. I reacted. Jericho's way better as a heel. 2.0, because this does feel like a lesser version of the Inner Circle, and I think that's on purpose. I do wonder if we'll see Daniel Garcia leave and go to the Moxley Danielson thing that might start up. But I love this because now I like it because I want Jericho heel and it gets Santana and Ortiz away to do their own thing away from me. I know they'll have this feud, but then they'll be able to finally make their own run, which is what I'm looking forward to.
So Matthew, since you were so impatient and you really wanted to talk about this, do you like this now? We finally got a heel Jericho turn and essentially the end of the Inner Circle.
You seem a little ornery about that.
Oh no, I love this.
Oh, yeah, this was fantastic. This was a great segment. I like how the announcers kind of played it up like the reason why 2.0 was not attacking Jericho is because he has the hurt neck and he's already kind of out of commission, so he is not a threat to them. The bat shots on Santana I thought were vicious. You're good like that. You can do it this way. There's so many different screen layouts you could do, Sean. I'm not a big fan of the name, the no Jericho Appreciation Society. I thought, yeah, to Kyle's point, Inner Circle 2.0 is like, it's there, right?
They're not doing that with NXT 2.0 being across the pond, I don't think.
Well, because it's dog shit. I mean, it's right there. It's Inner Circle 2.0. JAS just sounds...
Well, here's the thought. Is it now just playing into all of the stuff that's kind of said online, like Jericho's just got the ego and he won't remove himself kind of from the picture? So now are we just kind of playing into this enough where Ryan is now nodding in the foreground? Whoa. Okay. So is this just...
Let me produce, man. Jeez, you don't have to acknowledge it every time, people.
Because this is the first time in 50 episodes where this has happened.
Why wouldn't we do this on episode 53, starting fresh?
Got to work the kinks out.
So, Matt, do you think that this is just...
That eye roll was hard as fuck, and you were giant on my screen.
Do you think this is just them playing into the hand that, like, you know, all the chatter that's out there about Jericho?
I don't know. I'm sure Jericho's behind it. He's one letter away from it being Jericho's personal security and digging up the dead body of Ralphus, but I don't think that's happening. But I love this. I love this. I love what this is eventually going to set up. And it kind of, like, Hager doesn't need to rub. So him and Jericho kind of breaking away from the inner circle makes such sense. You can get, you know, now we get to see 2.0 and Daniel Garcia essentially in the spot that Santana and Sammy were in, and Ortiz and Sammy. I fucking love this. And the possibilities of where this ends, leads to, is it a War Games? Do we see Homicide and Low-Key? Do we see Hernandez? Do we see former members of LAX? Like, this is fantastic. I love this. I love everything about it. Jericho's such a shit heel, too. I'm all for it. Hopefully this means people stop singing fucking Judas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm with you, man. I kind of like where this is headed. And if I had to pick kind of like what the end game was going to be here, my guess is it would be, they've done it twice, a Blood and Guts at some point with kind of these two groups, whether it's LAX and this Jericho Appreciation Society. But maybe they don't. Maybe they do something else. So I like that. Kate, we didn't get your thoughts here, especially I was kind of letting you collect your thoughts. I know you were probably very emotional about this because it was Eddie Kingston getting, you know, beat down pretty hard here. What did you think?
It was Bestie Eddie. I really enjoyed this. If you are a fan of Healthy Necks, this week in wrestling was not for you. There were some brutal bumps. Eddie going through the table being one of them. Jake Hager has been one of the bigger disappointments, I feel like, but this is harmless for him. I think Garcia does eventually defect and go to this William Regal, Moxley Danielson, technical wizard stable, whatever that's going to be at some point. I think this is fun, and I think the Jericho Appreciation Society, like, we're going to get a silly, it's going to turn into Jackass somehow, or whatever, you know what I mean? We're going to get something stupid. Like, they're too intentional about names, I think, for that to eventually lean into something stupid. But I like Jericho as a heel. I like him as a character-y heel, and I think we're going to get there, especially him being aligned with 2.0 makes so much sense to me out of this. And damn it, I believe Trio titles are on the horizon. So I think LAX being back in business is something that's just, it's great. And Kingston and Proud and Powerful seem at their most authentic versions of themselves, so perfectly aligned. Like, I loved all the Bubbly Bunch stuff with Proud and Powerful and a lot of the Inner Circle stuff with them. But, like, I think at their core, the champion version of them is going to be much more similar, like, with an Eddie Kingston. And I loved this. It was long overdue. I'm glad that they did it. I'm glad that they did it now. They're really leaning into this handshake thing. They did it all over the pay-per-view, man. Like, every match had a handshake thing. So it just makes me feel like they're planting seeds for whatever this ROH adoption process is, which is fun. And it might not be anything that overt, but they're really leaning into this, like, handshake honor stuff. And it's fun to see for me. And I just wonder how that's going to play out on what will eventually be ROH programming. Like, it's interesting. So, but a great way to start the show. I feel like I want them to go back to starting with in-ring action more often than not. But the segments that they have started with when it is speaking segments have all been great and important. So I don't mind it. But yeah, it felt like a little bit long, but a lot happened. So I'll take it.
You know, word out there is too that Jericho has filed for, I guess, a copyright or trademark for Sports Entertainer. So I'm assuming that at some point Sports Entertainment will be rolled into this faction. Which also just makes me wonder if you're the company who says you are a sports entertainment company, how would you not have anything copywritten or trademarked that is remotely close to sports entertainment? Just food for thought. I don't know.
They might. There's all sorts of sneaky ways around that shit, though, too, of like filing it in different categories and whatever. But I love that. That's like so perfect for,
yes,
for what that's becoming.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we go to our first match of the night. It's Hangman Adam Page versus Dante Martin for the AEW World Championship. Dante Martin, the number two contender, cutting to the end of this match. Hangman wins by pinfall with the buckshot, retaining his championship. And post-match, we get an interview with Hangman Page, who calls Dante Martin back and says that it was a hard place without his brother, and he managed to make it all the way to the championship. He knows that he and his brother are going to go after the tag titles, but he put up a hell of a fight, and he'd be happy to face him again. That's when Adam Cole comes in and says Sunday that he proved that Page isn't untouchable. He took him to the limit, and that congratulations were in order because he got a fluke victory, and anybody can get lucky just once, but next time he won't be lucky. Next week, he challenges Page to a trios match. He says any two goons he wants against Cole and two very specific young men. Two guys who know Hangman better than he knows himself. Two men who are his friends and not Hangman's. His days as champion are numbered, and Cole will not stop until he gets the title and we go to break. So, Schlong, what did you think? Because you watch a lot of Dark, you've seen a lot of Dante Martin. What did you think about the showing from Dante and also the interview after the match?
The match was great. I mean, Dante's phenomenal. He's, if he didn't have a brother that I'm sure means he wants to stay in a tag team with him, I would
then,
think
then he'd be a single child.
No, he could have a sister.
The point.
But what I was saying is I think you're more likely to want to stay in the tag team with your brother. Rather, if it was just like a random person, I think he would not be going back to that tag team based on the singles run he had during Darius's injury. He's phenomenal. Now, of course, as a tag team, they're great for the division. They're going to do things other tag teams can't. This was a fun, quick match. I'd like seeing Hangman defend his title. I think he's probably not going to have as long of a reign as like Kenny did. So getting a bunch of defenses in there isn't a bad thing, making him meaningful. The afterwards where he showed him respect was huge to put Dante over as like, hey, you belong here. And then the Adam Cole moment after makes sense because Adam Cole is the type to be like, yeah, I'm not going away. Like, you're not going to make Adam Cole go away just because of one match. That's just not how that works. So I thought this whole segment did what it intended, but I think it's the only weird thing is it is kind of weird to prop Dante up as a single star just as his brother comes back from an injury. It's like, pretty sure they're destined for tag team for a while.
And Schlong, I guess I'll pose this question to everybody else too. At this point in the night, did you have an idea who the tag partners were going to be? Were you leaning Bucks or somebody else?
I just assumed it would be the Dark Order.
No, for
No. I kind of figured they were going to do that where like it was going to end up being Redragon because that's the story they're telling there.
Okay. Kate, what did you think about the match and the post-match?
I really liked a lot about the match. We should also talk about Adam Page's gear being LGBTQIA ally gear, which I thought was so awesome because they were in Florida and all of the stuff that's going on with the Don't Say Gay bill and him being a teacher. Like, what an awesome thing to do. Loved the match. My only, and it's such a minor gripe, but we're here to do minor gripes, is there the criticism since the Danielson stuff was that this reign fell off a little bit, right? Like, the Lance Archer stuff wasn't great until the match. The Cole stuff got kind of felt like thrown together. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, putting him in the second segment of the night, like, doesn't feel like your champion in a lot of ways. But from what I saw in front of me, the match itself was fantastic, as to be expected. Loved him calling Dante back, as Schlong pointed out. And he did say, I know you and your brother are going to go change the tag division or whatever. So he did like kind of acknowledge that this was probably his last singles match for a while. But I thought the match was great. as far as after, I mean, young people, the first person that comes to my mind is probably Bobby Fish. Like, he's the youngest guy in the company, clearly. JK, he's like in his 50s. Part of me is wondering if it's going to be like 5 and 10 or something. Like, if Adam Cole is going to dig into the Dark Order to try and expedite this Dark Order breakup that we saw like coming down the mountain a little bit later in the match. Like, are we headed for a Dark Order breakup is something that ran through my head while Adam Cole can't get control of like his own friends. Cause the young guys part is what kind of threw me. And I thought between the seeds of dissension that we're seeing sowed later, maybe this is a way of Adam Cole trying to dig at what has made Adam Page a champion, which is his friends or whatever. So I don't know. They could go the obvious routes with that, but him saying that it's the young guys made me start to think outside the box a little bit. But I'm just intrigued. And if they're going to continue with this story, it makes me wonder if Kenny is going to come back in an on-screen role. I know his hernia surgery got pushed like 6 to 8 weeks because COVID and elective surgeries and all that stuff, but he could probably show up just to talk. He doesn't have to even get the ring. So interesting development. I'm wondering if the Dark Order is headed for some dissension within itself and Adam Cole can smell that a little bit.
So Matt, what are your thoughts on the match and the post-match?
I thought the match was, I sound low. Did I fuck my shit up? I thought the match was good. There was like a botch spot in the middle that Adam Page recovered very well, where I guess he was supposed to catch him and roll through, and they somehow messed that up, and he just kept rolling through with him until he picked up Dante. I think Dante Martin's a special kind of talent, and I think once him and Darius get back in the tag team division, they're really going to set things on fire. You have to remember, and sometimes we have to take ourselves out of this. Like, not every AEW fan can put down $50 to watch a pay-per-view or go to the movies, you know? So like, putting him on the first show after the pay-per-view is you're kind of show, because more people watch the Dynamite because it's free. So mm-hmm. You're kind of putting him out there being like, he's still the champ. And I guess if you want to justify the rankings, because Dante Martin's the last person I ever would have thought to be the number two ranked guy in the company, based on their rankings. So I'd have a problem with the match. You got the showcase page and you move forward this storyline with Adam Cole. And I really thought, my thought was that Adam Cole will reveal who his tag team is. And then Adam Page. So if Adam Cole had picked the Young Bucks, Adam Page would have picked Red Dragon as a like, all right, well, you know, you chose them over them, so I'm going to take them with me as kind of a fuck you. But obviously, when we get later into the show, we figure out, you know, we see how that all plays out. But that's the first thing I thought of when he was dropping all those little hints there.
Oh, man, or if they had both picked the Young Bucks, could you imagine? That would have been so much fun. And they decided to agree to both.
Right. Just play both sides. Yeah, that would have been fun. Well, we'll get a little bit more on that as we move through the show. The next match we get in the night is the debut of Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley as a tag team with William Regal versus the Workhorsemen, Anthony Henry and JD Drake.
You know, fun fact, Ant Money, I don't know if you know this, the listeners out there, the Mark Order podcast. Monday night, Anthony Henry will be joining the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast. And you could follow us on all forms of social media at Wizards Podcast.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, listen, tune in. It's a later interview. It's like 9 o'clock. He's going to be joining us.
Oh, I can't go that late. What are you, nuts?
It's fucking midnight right now, buddy.
Oh, it's way past my bedtime. So the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley do wind up winning this match by submission, the LaBelle lock from Danielson on Drake. And then post-match, we get a William Regal interview where he talks about, you know, doing this with Shivani again after, you know, 29 years and that time is kind of passing him by and he's not long for kind of this life, which is kind of weird to be talking about when he's 53.
And a 63-year-old just jumped off a balcony into the table.
Yeah.
He is a professional wrestler, though, so.
It is true.
Unfortunately.
Very true. But he says that he sat home for 2 months, checked out, you know, of the industry, and then somebody told him that Danielson mentioned him on Dynamite, and that piqued his interest, and he had to watch to see what was that Danielson was going to fight Moxley, and the only reason that we know him is because of Brian. Every time that his name was mentioned in Ring of Honor anywhere else, Regal's name also got mentioned. And as much of a rogue as he is, is if somebody wants to work hard, he'll make them a better professional wrestler. So he says that Danielson is the wrestler he should have been, basically the perfect wrestler. And there was a time they'd train with a group and they'd leave, and then it'd be the two of them for three or four in the afternoon to past midnight. And that's when they really learned, and when Brian became everything he could never be because he didn't have his problem. And that brought up Moxley, and that, you know, he talks about meeting him 11 years ago and the psychological and physical problems they put on each other would make the devil cry. So basically he said the perfect wrestler and the perfect sadistic person that will take things to another level. And that's why this team's together. And he warned everybody that, if anyone steps in the ring with them, you won't like the outcome, and either you'll step up or get stepped on. Let's pause there, 'cause then we move on to something else. So guys, this is the first time we're seeing Regal in any sort of capacity in the ring. Obviously the match was what it was, and I think it was pretty good. But I think the big news here is the post-match with Regal. Matt, I wanted to throw it to you because you've probably got more on Regal than anybody else here, arguably. What did you think about this from Regal? Did you like him talking about his past? I mean, I thought it was cool. You mentioned Shivani and kind of reliving that past and also talking about how he's not long for his life. But, what did you think of this out of Regal and the match too?
The match itself was great. I think it served its purpose, and I think the workhorsemen looked good. JD Drake and Henry are great talents, and it was nice to see them on TV because I think they're only usually on Dark and Dark Elevation, so that was cool. The stuff with Regal afterwards was fantastic. He's very transparent because it's funny because I can only speak for myself. I'm sure there's people in the chat and watching. I've been a wrestling fan for so long. Like, there's people who only know William Regal for just like, he's the GM of NXT. Like, if you can go and find, and I used to have DVDs of him when he was like 17 wrestling in England, where they would do they wrestled in rounds. It's some of the best chain wrestling you'll ever see. And he was phenomenal at 17, 18, 19 years old. And then just his journey through WCW, like the stuff with Shivani is fantastic. Like, it's fucking 2022. Sting's jumping off balconies. Tony Schiavone and Steven Regal are on TBS. He called him your Lord, which is fantastic because he was Lord Steven Regal when he came to WCW. Just great stuff. He gets super emotional. He's very transparent. Like, it's not, you know, if you read his book, like, he was like a fucking nut hair away from being dead from fucking the drinking and the drugs and just abusing his body just to get rid of the pain. It's a great read. And if you have the time or you're looking to read a great book, the Regal book is definitely worth checking out. So this was awesome. And the prospect of Danielson and Moxley being a tag team, I mean, just, you know, if they're going to be a tag team, they're the champs in, I don't know, 4 weeks. Look, Jungle Boy and the Dinosaur are fantastic, but there's no fucking way they're beating these two.
Couldn't agree more with you there. Kate, what did you think about the match and the interview afterwards?
Match I thought was great. Man, all of them looked wonderful in this. JD Drake is so fantastic, and we've gotten to see him. I love the wingmen, but getting to see him split away from them has been good to just show what an incredible talent he is. The post-match was so awesome. Like, I just, Regal getting choked up talking about Shivani, like that just felt all very, very sincere, like everything that he was saying and very, very real. I'm one of those people that for the most part only know him as like the NXT GM. And even there, if you ask my Tuesday night co-host who has been watching a lot longer than me, he'll tell you he was kind of like the only good on-screen authority figure that we really had, at least since McMahon. Like he so was great in that role. And I've seen some of his wrestling, but like even just knowing that part of him is something that I appreciated because everything he did made so much sense and he treated it like a workplace still, like really, really good in that role. And I think he'll be a fantastic manager. The either step up or get stepped down line between that and Moxley saying, I have to bleed with you first before you become my brother, makes me think that they're going to have people that can hang with them, that join them, or people that they just squash the hell out of, right? And get beaten and can't bleed with me, can't hang with me. So I just kind of like that. It feels almost like an open challenge, but the other side of that open challenge is to get into this stable that they're forming. I don't think they become your tag champs. I don't know how you avoid that. Man, I'm so intrigued by what happens with ROH. Like, I don't know what the game plan is going to be. Like, will this stable build and then Lee Moriarty and someone else are your tag team champs down there? Like, there's so many possibilities and it makes it so fun. I still think it's going to be Proud and Powerful that dethroned Jurassic Express, especially now. But I'm so looking forward to whatever this is going to be because I think you do end up with Daniel Garcia. I think you do get Lee Moriarty. Like, people who love more technical, pure style type of wrestling, I think are going to fall really, really in love with this. And then with William Regal guiding it, I just can't imagine that's not going to be anything that isn't super, super awesome. But I was getting emotional seeing how emotional he was getting. Like he was crying, talking about how Tony Schiavone was one of the first people to help him in this business. So I loved it. I love the reception that he got. People are so excited to see him there. And he just seems like he really deserves it. So it makes me happy.
And Schlong, what's your take on this? Because I think you're familiar with Regal from his days in WCW. You've admitted a lot here that you were primarily WCW guy for a while. So interested to see what you thought about this.
He'll always be Lord Steven Regal to me with that sneer on his face. Loved it. He was great. And then his Belfast Brawl with Finlay. Oh my God. If you want, that's what it was called, right, Matt? Belfast Brawl? Yeah,
it was on Nitro.
Go look that up if you haven't seen it. It works because I actually did watch that recently, so I should remember, but it holds up just as well today as it did back then. That match was fantastic. I do like that he didn't come out with a gripe, which I was very happy with. Like, he was sincere. Like, he didn't think he'd be let go. It wasn't like he wasn't super happy about it. Like, I just like that because only so many guys can come in and be like, oh, I'm so happy to be free. Like, no. I just want to point out that so when Danielson did his promo, the original promo to Mox, he named three guys, if I recall. Lee Moriarty, Daniel Garcia, and Wheeler Yuta. Daniel Garcia was featured heavily tonight in a big angle, and Wheeler Yuta had a match. So the only one who didn't show up was Lee Moriarty. And Wheeler Yuta, while he's on, doesn't have matches on Dynamite all that often. So I find it very interesting that the night that this stuff starts to come together, Wheeler Yuta shows up and has a pretty damn good match. From an in-ring character standpoint, he makes perfect sense with those two because he's a manager, but not a manager. I think saying his age was actually the best thing he could have done for himself because I think people think he's older than he is. 53. I mean, again, Sting is in his 60s doing that. Jericho's what? Almost 50. Is he 50 now? Like, Dustin is 51. Dustin's 51. Like, I think 53 means like this guy still can, not that he's going to wrestle regularly, but he's not Tully. Like, he's got some times left to him. Behind this backstage, I think he's the greatest thing they could have picked up. I think that might be one of, you know, I think when they signed the Big Show and then they signed Mark Henry, we talked about it, how like you can't take those just on the on-screen face value. And I do think from what I hear from interviews in AEW, those guys have had a lot of impact backstage. I think Regal's going to be not only on screen huge, but behind the stage, probably the biggest. I mean, he has trained so many amazing Brian Danielson, all those NXT kids could wrestle it at elite levels. And they all got better when they got there. So I think you're going to see guys who are good become even better. And that's just going to be a lot of fun. And he always has a special place because he was Lord Steven Regal when I started watching wrestling. And any guy who existed in either WCW or WWF, but especially WCW at that time, you always have a special place.
Well, for his first night on camera in any capacity, I feel like this was really successful for Regal. So excited to see where this whole angle goes. We do move on to Dark Order being interviewed backstage. Hangman rolls up to basically talk about his status with them and admits his temper got the best of him on Sunday night, and he wanted to apologize to Alex Reynolds. Evil Uno says everything's cool, and Silver asks who's going to be on his team next week. And that's when Paige admits that he already ran into Jurassic Express and wanted to team with him, and he went for it. Dark Order says it's all good, and then Adam says he's going to get changed and catch up with them later. So, again, we're distancing ourselves here a little bit with the Dark Order. It looks like right now it's Jurassic Express. Surprising move for anybody here? I don't know what anybody might want to talk about this, but is this surprising to anybody?
I like it. I think it's another wrinkle in the story. After he won the title, they did the thing with Danielson where he ran through the Dark Order, and then they kind of, we're kind of there, but not really part of the story. So kind of bringing it almost full circle now where he's the champ and maybe he got what he needed out of the Dark Order. And they're kind of just like, they're there, but he doesn't really need them. I think it'll be a very interesting, an interesting story that they tell. I'm excited to see the direction it goes.
Gonna be honest, not a fan.
Oh my god!
Don't say that.
I slow clap for Matt for very specific reasons. I thought that Hangman story with the Dark Order was a nice told story, and I don't think it. I think it's too soon to go back to it and change it already, and have be within like the first 3 months of him of the one story getting wrapped up. We're already like ending it. Like I just feels too repetitive to me. I would have liked to have stepped away from it for a while, and you can come back to that down the road. But and just to me, how, like, I don't know. I just don't like, I feel like it's too close to what we got with the Kenny story, and that just ended. So I didn't really see a need for it again.
Well, I think the positive thing that we've seen AEW do is they don't, something like this where they know the fans are invested. I don't think this is something they're going to rush along. Like, this may be them planting the seeds, and we might not hear anything about this for 4 more weeks until it comes up again.
I know we're going to get to it, but it does apply here. Did Adam Cole officially say who he's picking on his team?
Yes. It comes shortly after this. Yep.
Because realistically the team should have been Silver and Reynolds because of Budge in PTE, like they have that built-in story, but I just feel like there's, again, I get what you're saying about this, but they've kind of built the story quickly, and now this is, it feels like it's moving, and I'm like, I don't need this again.
Let him hate it. Just sit in the hate, Ryan.
Fill yourself with hate. I love it. I love it.
Ryan's coming to the dark side.
I like that I said I wasn't a fan, and that got to be hate. Like, you guys have upped my dislike of this greatly.
On the Ryan scale, that is hate. Like, that's what
you do realize by next week I'll have talked myself into this, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, of course.
Okay, as long as we're all clear.
We're living in the now, friend.
That's right.
They've earned my trust on this stuff, so I'm willing to let it play out, as the kids say. But initially, I was just more taken aback by it. I was a little bit surprised. But it also, I like that at least the people that he ditched them for are the world champions. So he can kind of point to that and be like, you know, they're the best in the world right now. And I also liked him saying, but I'll catch you guys later. Right. Like he was trying to, we're cool though. Right. And like, I liked that everyone in the Dark Order kind of had a different reaction. Like Cabana was heartbroken. Silver was like, yeah. No, we're good. Like I liked that they are a unified unit, but there's individuals within that unit. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well, in a minute here, we'll talk about Adam Cole's team, but we did get a match in between. It was Pac versus Wheeler Yuta, and Wheeler had all of the crew in tow. Funny, I don't know if anybody... Yes, Danhausen was there, but I don't know if anybody recognized it. As they came out, everybody was doing fist bumps to Wheeler. So, like, Orange Cassidy gave a little fist bump. Chuck gave a fist bump, but Trent did not fist bump. Trent is still like, who the fuck is this guy? So, anyway, cut to the end of this match. Pac wins with a brutalizer submission. I don't think we thought this was going to go any other way. Does anybody want to make a comment about anything here? Or should we just keep moving? You tell me.
I thought it was a good match. It was nice to see Wheeler, Yuta, and Pac. I felt like this episode was very rushed.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
But the match was fine. It was nice seeing everybody out there. I like Alex Aberhante's new getup. Spooky scary. Yes.
I don't like it.
I was disappointed. Danhausen didn't curse anyone.
No cursing tonight. Maybe he already cursed them.
Danhausen tweeted about the match and it was pretty funny. He said that Pac won because Pac and Penta are more evil than Yuta.
Oh, I mean, checks out.
That's his theory.
True. Yuta is very nice.
Danhausen is very nice and very evil, so he would know who's evil. But
yeah, it was just
that's true. So after this, we get to another backstage segment. So here's where Adam Cole lets us know what's going on with his team next week. He's got Red Dragon and the Bucks, and he admits they all had a rough night at Revolution, and his everybody starts to bicker about what happened, but he asks them to stop. And he says everything changes next week because he's got two guys that are the perfect partners who live in Hangman Adam Page's head rent-free. And that's when Matt Jackson cuts him off and says they won't wrestle Hangman. But Cole says, well, he wasn't going to pick you anyway. He's going with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And we go to break. So any thoughts here, guys? You know, was it going to be the Young Bucks and then he got all butthurt and changed his mind at the last minute? I see a lot of heads nodding. Matt, maybe most anxious to talk here. Go ahead, Matt.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, he was gonna pick the Young Bucks, and then Matt was like, sorry, we don't want anything to do with them. And then he was like, fuck you. Just like Johnny Silver was like, oh, we're free next week. Like, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, I kind of ran in Dress Express. Ah, I got a beard appointment anyway. Don't worry about it. I got stuff to do. I think he was a little butthurt that the Young Bucks didn't want anything to do with him.
I mean, they are living in his head rent free. But I don't know.
I agree. I concur.
Schlong, you were nodding pretty hard too.
Well, I was more just nodding because Matt was nodding, so I'd like just mimic him. But I do agree that he was picking the Bucks and then mimic. Yes, mimic's a word.
No, I understand. You don't mimic me throughout the whole show.
I've done it a bunch of times.
Marky Mark's got it right. Matt, most deaf.
Nice. But he definitely was going to pick the Bucks. I want to point out for our last match, it was kind of cool that they said, oh, this is a like a last-minute filler match because the title match didn't go 60 minutes. Obviously a lie, but that's just a cool little thing to make things feel more real and apply logic. Like, they booked 60 minutes. It didn't happen. They have to throw something in. But yeah, this was fine. I like the story that's being told here.
Kate, you like this tag match?
Yeah, I dug it. It was great.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't a tag match. It was just a segment.
Yeah.
Well,
you like the setup for the tag match.
I do. Yeah, I think it's the handwriting is on the wall in a good way.
Good.
I got you, Ant.
I'll see myself out. Thanks.
Well, please do.
Ant, you're doing great.
It's okay.
You're doing
great. You don't have to do that. It's all good.
Matt can't speak English. Don't let somebody who can't speak English bully you.
Take yourself an extra croissant in the morning on me. You're good.
Oh, croissant, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Fancy.
Guys, back from commercial, we get FTR interviewed backstage. Uh-oh. A lot of hands going up to their faces here.
I just see two, but okay.
Dax is talking about pro wrestling being his first love, and he says Red Dragon and the Bucks, you know, he calls them back out, and Tully steps in to say when they called him in, it was supposed to be about winning titles. And then Dax grabs Tully and says that this is about family. And Cash says, yeah, this is about family, but Tully isn't family. He's fired. So, guys, it looks like...
Fired guy.
Hey, fired guy. It was just a cheesy pita, by the way, in the toaster oven.
Ryan started the fire.
That's right. Ryan did start the fire. So, I mean, this was the first point in the night where I was like, oh, I guess the Pinnacle isn't a thing anymore. Like, I guess we're sort of busting this up. And then we get a little bit more later. But what's going on with FTR, do we think, here? They fired Tully. Where do we go from here? Matt, you kind of look like, I don't know what's going on. You're stroking your chin beard, thinking.
Here comes the Briscoes.
Oh yeah, pal. That's what I'm thinking.
That's Tully's like, fuck you to FTR. How dare you fire me? Legend. I'm a horseman. I want half of the Brainbusters.
Do you think Tully goes and brings in the Briscoes?
The Briscoes don't need a manager.
Sure.
But I think he is like, you know, how dare you fire me? You know, now face these chicken farmers.
Chicken farmers. Yes.
They are.
No, I know. That's why I'm agreeing.
I didn't have a good promo in my brain for that. I'm sorry.
Anybody else? You're also stroking your chin beard, Ryan. Thoughts here?
Matt is not the only one to think that's the... I saw a couple people on Twitter bring that up, that they think the Briscoes are... And they tagged us. That's why it stuck out to me, that they think the Briscoes are coming with Tully. I was surprised they did this already, though. It kind of felt like a little out of nowhere. It'll be interesting. It'll be something new for FTR. And we have a lot of heel teams, so it'll be good to get like a really strong face team. And they are, you know, again, I mean, the Bucks, I don't know what they're doing, but right now they're still kind of heelish. But like FTR, they need something, and this could be, you know, them versus the Briscoes is going to be very, very interesting, especially now with the whole ROH being bought thing that has a lot bigger stakes than it originally did.
Okay. If you have Tully and Arn both working in the same company and one has a Glock and one does not,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you fire the guy who doesn't have a Glock for the guy with the Glock? Just realistically. This feels like an upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, if that's where they go, sure. Now you've got a manager and he owns a handgun.
We don't know that Tully doesn't own a handgun.
We don't know, but we do know that Arn.
I feel like Tully probably has like an assault rifle.
He did get fired from the WWF for having a cocaine problem, so he definitely has...
He's off the rails.
Yeah, not off the rails, but he's...
Oh, he was doing the rails.
Goes down.
He was riding rails.
Yeah, shit goes down.
The guy that puts his Glock out there, that's who I want managing me. I'm just saying. But I'm intrigued.
The guy that puts his cock out there?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly
I don't. Your microphone's like all over the place tonight, Kate.
You're all over
it's
the
making
place,
Glock man. Sound like cock.
Kick its lip titties and it all changes. Sound like
Wally to start the show.
I think you guys hear what you want to hear, right?
It's those lubies.
You guys want the cock to be out there, it's going to be out there. You glock the cock, not the other way around. You know what I mean?
Click, click, so. Boom.
Only when I'm sleeping, apparently.
Sleep
no, I'm, in, I'm intrigued by this because Wardlow and MJF are obviously on the outs. Sean Spears is going to be caught up in that, and FTR has always been this kind of in and out situation, right? Much like a cock. In and out. So, I kind of like it. We, I think, could use, I don't know, I feel like the Bucks and FTR being on the same side of things is not a bad idea, because otherwise it seems like they should be fighting for the rest of their lives if they're not on opposite sides. So I kind of like that, and I just am intrigued to see what a face FTR looks like. We haven't really seen that since they've shown up. So give me that. I'm in.
Well, we'll see what happens. FTR talking a lot about family and firing Tully, so very possible they're going face here.
Or to the Olive Garden.
Very true. Well, then everybody's there, family.
Your family. Maybe they just want their breadsticks.
Terrible. Guys, after this, we get the Andrade Hardy Family Office, the AHFO, in the ring for their board meeting, because that's where all board meetings should take place, in public. And basically, Matt Hardy agrees to hold a vote because Andrade wants him out of the family. And Andrade votes no. Hardy votes himself yes. And he also makes mention that he'll never be voted out since his boys in Private Party are going to keep him in. And that's when Andrade's butler votes no. And Matt Hardy looks at Private Party and they vote yes. And he turns around to basically talk shit to Andrade. And that's when they change their vote to no. Andrade says, "You always need to watch your back." And Matt realizes what happened. And that's when he gets jumped by the Butcher, the Blade, and Private Party, as well as Andrade. Well, Darby Allin and Sting try to come down to make the save, but clearly they don't have the numbers. So who else is there possibly to get down to the ring to make a save? Well, Jeff Hardy is available to make the save. So Jeff comes to the ring, cleans house. We get a Swanton bomb. There's a little Hardy Boys moment with Sting and Darby Allin. And it looks like Jeff Hardy is now part of this company. So we kind of knew this was coming. I mean, the writing was on the wall. When they say they're going to do a board meeting in the middle of the goddamn show, what else could they be setting up? I guess my question to everybody is, did we like how this played out, and are we excited to see a Hardy Boys reunion in 2022 in an AEW ring? Kate, let's go to you first.
So a few things that I really liked about this. One, this is the best work Andrade has done since he was with Zelina Vega in WWE. I like this so much. Him speaking for himself. Sometimes you can't always fully understand what he's saying, but you always understand what he's saying. You know what I mean? And he just comes across as so cool, and ring wise, he's just as badass as they get, I feel like. And as far as Jeff Hardy, I think the theme was the surprise. We all knew he was coming, but it was cool to see him come out to that music. I found it hilarious. His brother was getting choked out and he still managed to dance at the top of the ramp for a minute to give that to us. I wasn't sure how I'm excited, of course, because it's the Hardy Boys, but like, man, the place came unglued when he showed up, and he's still so massively over, and seeing him and Matt hug, I was like, oh, okay, I'm like really starting to feel about this. Like it kind of became apparent, like they're going to have a final run and they're going to cement their legacy, and that's going to be really special and cool. And seeing Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin in the same wrestling ring, and with Sting there, of course, obviously, like what a cool wrestling moment. And they're really good at giving us moments without shoving moments down our throats. You know what I mean? It's not a WrestleMania moment, but they're like these organic moments that pop up as parts of the story rather than building to the moment. They're just like moments that happen in the greater context rather than the story being all about that moment. So I just think it was really well done. I wasn't like overly excited, and then when it all happened, now I'm really excited. So I just want to see Darby Allin and Jeff Hardy go crazy. I think it's going to be a blast.
Matt, what are your thoughts on a Hardy reunion?
You know what? They're a great tag team, and they have their legacy in the world of professional wrestling, and I think the opportunity presented itself, it'd be silly for them not to do it, and the possibilities are endless. You know, don't forget the whole fucking broken Matt Hardy doesn't work without Brother Nero, you know, like that's a whole that, you know, and we didn't get to see that when he came in because of the pandemic and everything. And you kind of got glimpses with the fucking drone, but you know, there's a lot they can do here. The music was, you knew it was coming, but man, the music, I was like, oh, this is fucking awesome that they got the music. And I'm with Kate, and I think a bunch of people in the chat too said it. Like, he stopped to dance while his brother's getting the dog shit beat out of him. It's hysterical. Also, I think I'm sure they've talked before or since, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time since Sting. This is the first time that Sting and Jeff Hardy have been in the ring since the Jeff Hardy Drunk as a Skunk TNA pay per view main event in like 2015 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it. I like it. I like it. There's a lot, you know, Hardy's FTR, Hardy's Private Party, Hardy's against Sting and Darby.
Hardy's against Jurassic Express, like Jungle Boy in that. Like, hell yeah, let's go.
Massively over. He's always been a huge star. He was a huge star in TNA, and they turned him into a fucking tree, you know, pre Scott D'Amore and company. So it's very exciting time. It's great to see him back. You know, they got when they came back at WrestleMania, it was a huge surprise, a huge moment for them. And the fact that they get to do it again, they're not just doing it in AEW, they're doing it all over the indie scene, is great.
Shlong, I got to ask, because I'm not sure anymore. You hated something earlier. Did you hate this or love this?
No, I loved this.
Oh, okay.
I liked Private Party's thumb down moment. I thought that was cool for them. I think they played that really well. I kind of wish when you announce a board meeting, they had like a board table set up and they were all in suits. I don't know. I was just having fun with it. Listen, guys, Matt Hardy has been around a long time. He realized that, not Matt, Jeff Hardy's been around a long time. He knew Matt wasn't going to get choked out in those couple seconds it took him to dance. So he just was going to celebrate a little bit. That's all. I don't think his boots were tied properly because he did seem to be very cautious in his run. So maybe hopefully he gets better boots. It's amazing to me that that wasn't WWF music or WWE music. That was like Spike TV, which is insane to me. And then Gordon Post in the chat asked if anybody wants Darby Allin versus Jeff Hardy. You're going to get that. There's no way they don't do that match. Like, that's going to be insane. It's good for them. Get their final run in. And like Matt said, do it in the indies too. Like, they're not locked into just one company. They can go all over. I'm curious to see what they come up with, because when they were in E last, they very much had to be Hardy Boys circa 1999, 2000. I'm very curious to see what Matt and Jeff come up with for this iteration, because they get weird and creative.
Very true. And Matt did say that I realized when I was in the suit, I was just an asshole. So I think we're done seeing millionaire Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I liked he had his come to Jesus moment. Like, it was me. I was wrong.
I think he's Christian AF. Kate, did you want to add?
Go ahead. Oh, just that I loved Andrade's reaction to that, too. Like, why is it the suit's fault? Like, the reaction that he had of, like, this is a beautiful thing to wear. How dare you? Popped me huge at home. I just to take a second to put over Friends of the Shining Wizards and friend of mine, John Alva's podcast with Matt Hardy is absolutely fascinating. And I know they talked about this with Jeff Hardy's return when they were in Florida this past week. So it's a really, really, really interesting listen as far as I'm concerned. And if you want to hear more about his exit from WWE, certainly, and what coming to AEW means to him, I just want to put that over, because I have learned new information every single episode, and it's a really fun listen. So if you're interested in more about Jeff Hardy coming to AEW, listen this week.
Well, there are a lot of possibilities. It's going to be fun to see where they go with the Hardy Boys in this run in AEW. But guys, this next segment was the moment of the night in the Money House. Swerve is interviewed backstage, and who interrupts? One Mr. Tony Nese. And Tony talks or takes issue with Shivani not being excited for his debut and says he thinks it'd be perfect for the premier athlete to welcome Swerve to AEW given their history on Friday nights. So Strickland said he's going to beat that ass because this isn't Nese's house, it's Swerve's house. I don't know if we need to talk about anything here, guys, but. You know.
I don't. The only person's opinion that I care about is Gina's. Sorry, Mrs. Money's.
She. So I can tell you this. I mean, she can give you her opinion. If you're in the Shining Wizards Discord, she is rolling around in the Discord, so she can give you her take. But she is very excited and now plans to be home on the couch at 10 o'clock on Friday night. And I asked if she was upset that he is not going to win that match because there's no way Swerve is losing his debut. She said, no, I'll just be happy to see Tony Nese on my television.
I will say that I did appreciate him saying, I was wondering who the first person to interrupt my interview would be. Yes. Just a perfect acknowledgement that Tony Schiavone can't interview anybody without getting called an asshole and interrupted. I love it.
So my one question, and maybe I just don't know, is the reference to wrestling on Friday nights to SmackDown?
Ooh. I didn't catch it. What was the reference?
So Nese said it'd be perfect for him to welcome Swerve to AEW, given their history of wrestling on Friday nights. So I took that as SmackDown, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, Swerve's faction Hit Row was there for about a minute and a half before they got released. So that's definitely that was in reference to.
It's 205 Live, right?
Oh, okay. That could be.
We taped it after SmackDown or before SmackDown. Oh. I think Nese was gone when Hit Row got there.
Yeah, it's 205.
Asian Joe confirmed 205 Live. Yep. So did Gordon Post. Thank you, Asian Joe and Gordon. And Corey M. So thank you, fact checkers. So we go to break and come back. Shivani welcomes Wardlow in for an interview. This is the first time I think we really get to see Wardlow speak for himself, which was nice. And I thought he did a pretty good job here. Basically, you know, not going through the whole thing. He basically says that Max wasn't a good person when he signed up for the job. And, you know, we'll have to forgive Wardlow for associating himself with trash, but he grew up poor and had to watch his mom struggle to raise him and his two older sisters. So at a young age, he knew he wanted to be a wrestler, and because it had given him the opportunity to provide himself and his family with a better life. And so Max was his way of getting his foot in the door, and he paid him a lot of money, and it changed his life, and he thanks him for that, but it doesn't matter how much you pay someone. It doesn't give you the right to disrespect them, threaten them and their family, or put hands on them. So he decided that when MJF slapped him last week, that was him sealing his fate. And even though he's still under contract with Max, he doesn't give a damn anymore. So at Revolution, he wanted to let everyone know he's not watching his back. He's not his bodyguard, and he's not in the Pinnacle. He's finally free. So again, this is the second time in the night. It seems like this Pinnacle is busted up, so he's not wasting any more of his time on Max. Basically, he wants out of his contract so he can get an AEW contract, and he is not stopping with the TNT Championship that he's going to win next week. He wants it all. AEW is officially Wardlow's world, and that just made me think of Bobby's world.
Me too!
So, guys, what did we think? Kate, let's go to you first since we were connected on Bobby's World. What did you think about this this interview? I mean, I was actually really impressed with how well I felt like Wardlow spoke on the mic because it was really our first time seeing him do anything besides whisper and sneer. So I thought this really humanized him.
I thought this was a great first real promo that we've gotten out of him. Agreed entirely for a few reasons. One, the delivery was great, and two, I just felt like he justified every single thing in the most face way possible. He talked about his family growing up being poor and that it was the right thing to do for his family in his past and in his future family. He said it was his foot in the door, basically, that it was not his intention to stay there. So I really, really liked this from him. I'll throw this to all of you guys because I'm intrigued. My Tuesday night co-host threw out this potential booking, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are. I think the easy thing is that MJF interferes with Wardlow and Scorpio Sky retains. But is there a possibility that MJF, after Wardlow were to beat Scorpio Sky, says, no, my contract with you said I own all your titles and your title shots. That title is mine. And you have MJF as your TNT champion, and the chase between that feud revolves around that title, and you can still keep Scorpio Sky in it. They could be trying to screw each other out of the match all the time, things like that. Just a fun offbeat booking possibility, because I think MJF has made alluded to that before, that title shots belong to him. So is there a possibility, or does MJF just take the title shot from Wardlow next week? Like, do we think it gets fancier or more vicious than MJF just costing Wardlow in some way?
I think last week he said you can have the title. You can have, if you win it, you can have it, but you never win it. And that's what led to Wardlow snapping back at him in the smack. I think you're going to get a very old school feud here where it's, they wrestle for his contract.
Oh, okay. I dig that.
I thought he hit a fucking home run tonight. And if Tony Khan isn't all allegedly jacked up on cocaine, he has a contract waiting for him. Like, you can't let him go. Because this was awesome. He stumbled towards the end where he had to say something to Tony, and then he kind of hadn't finished his promo yet. But overall, this is a home run, and he's a fucking star. A star. So I hope they lock him up for a long time, because I think he can do huge things in AEW. And it was the perfect time to turn him. It made sense. There's so much left with MJF and Shawn Spears, and you could even throw Punk in there. There's a lot they can do. So I'm excited to see where this goes, but this was fucking awesome tonight.
Shlong, what did you think? Did you hate this?
No. I mean, how could I hate? It was a good promo. I mean,
I don't know anymore. Schlong up is down, left is right, hot is cold. I can't tell.
Cats and dogs living together.
Mass hysteria.
There you go. No, I mean, he got a good promo, much better than I expected from him, which the hell is going on? That I was very happy about that. Like, I wasn't sure what kind of promo he would deliver. Like Kate said, the way they justified his working for MJF really made sense and makes him actually a very sympathetic character. I like the idea of wrestling for his contract. I don't like the idea that he would give the belt to MJF, because I think that lessens the belt then, like, give a champion who never actually won it. I don't think they would do that, because they're very protective of that. Like, that belt means a lot to them. But I do like the idea of maybe we don't see Wardlow versus Scorpio next week. Maybe that's how they keep Scorpio with the belt a little bit longer, that we think we're getting that match. And then MJF comes out and goes, no. You don't get to have this match. And that's the story they tell. So it's fairly interesting. But I think, like Matt said, like Kate said, like you're saying, they're getting very lucky that they have him, and how good he not only has been in, like, his physical work in terms of his facial reactions and his wrestling, but he delivered a good promo. So, like, now you have someone you can really depend on. And I would be shocked if, when his contract is up, he doesn't get a lot of offers. So I would extend him as quickly as possible.
I don't think that's luck. I think he's been working with MJF and FTR. You know what I mean? Like, I think they've just raised him right. So they should cash in on that.
Yeah, they've got to keep him around. He's a star. Asian Joe said it in the chat. Sorry, I just had it and lost it. Oh, here it is. Wardlow is everything people wish Brian Cage could be. A big guy with personality on the mic. Couldn't agree more. Anyway, we do get a quick backstage segment. QT Marshall with Keith Lee. And QT is basically telling Keith Lee that, hey, you've got an issue with Team Taz. I've got an issue with Team Taz. You know, the factory has your back. And Keith Lee says, my back is large. I'm good. And QT basically says that he's going to pay for this. Don't think we need to go in detail on anything there. So let's keep pushing forward. We get Jurassic Express versus the Acclaimed for the World Tag Team Championships. Jurassic Express does wind up winning by pinfall with a doomsday device on Anthony Bowens to retain the World Tag Team Championships. So, guys, anything we want to call out about this match? I think it was a pretty standard Jurassic Express match, and the Acclaim just continue to look good to me.
And Christian does a much better job than Marco Stunt at ringside.
Whoa. Let's just slow our roll there for a minute.
No slow. Look at the facts.
The facts are wrong.
We're Jurassic Express Tag Team Champions with Marco Stunt.
Slow the roll.
No, but they were building to it.
No buts, okay? All right.
Christian came into a finished product, didn't have to do anything. Marco Stunt helped them build.
Build what?
The Express.
Because I helped build a McDonald's don't mean I get the money when it opens.
Well, that's a bad job on you.
Yeah, you're just a poor business.
Shitty franchise owner.
No one said I was a franchise owner. I'm just a contractor. You pay me to build it.
But Marco was part of the franchise.
He wasn't part of nothing.
If you build it,
hanger on.
If you build it, they will come.
Depends on who's building it. Christian built it, they got the titles. Marco built it, they got nothing but trouble.
That Christian's going to turn his back on them.
Yep,
I thought the match was good. I thought, I think it's inevitable that Bowens is going to have to be a singles competitor at some point in this time at AEW over the next probably year. I like Caster a lot and they work well together, but like if Bowens is the wrestler and Caster is the mouthpiece, the degree to which Bowens can be his own mouthpiece comes through more and more and more every week. I'm very intrigued to see what Bowens could do on his own. I think he's really picked up a lot of respect. And basically since his Danielson match, I feel like people got to see a side of him that they didn't know existed. So, oh my God, Matt, fine. What, finished product or not, Christian got them over the top and has kept them there. Point Christian, says Kyle K. Sparks.
God damn it, Kyle.
They would never have gotten there without Marco is the point.
That's true.
Marco was the brains behind the operation. He is the Tully Blanchard of our time.
Yeah, how's he doing not in AEW?
Listen.
Probably singing like an angel.
Is he wrestling with all true. Those fucking sexual predators at GCW now?
Oh my God, Matthew.
Listen, Matt wanted us to look at the facts. All I know is that you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of Marco Stunt. He really set them in motion. Christian just swept in and stole all the work that Marco did.
Perhaps I missed it. Did they ever explain why the Ass Boys were there?
They didn't, not that I heard of. And I think if, like, I had to guess, it's because they're the next ranked tag team.
No, there was a little bit of explanation, and it was on Twitter. And the only reason I know this is because I made an ass pun to Austin about it. He said he put out a tweet saying, like, when quote tweeted the match announcement, said, "Oh, I want to be up front for this." So like they decided they wanted to be up front for it. Is the theory that they're giving out?
I kind of thought we were definitely going to get a title change, and I was a little excited about it.
That's what I want to bring up. Are you talking about the one? I forgot the name of the move that the Acclaim did, where Jungle Boy kicked out at like 2.9.
Yeah,
I thought it was over, and I thought
with the Ass Boys there, like there was going to be like tons of like Christians distracting the ref, so the boombox comes into play and the Ass Boys do something to kind of stick it to Christian and company. But I'm okay. The match was fantastic. And, you know, I think upward and onwards for Jurassic Express.
Well, we will see. We do get a video package out of Jade Cargill and Smart Mark asking who's next. So we'll see who is going to challenge for her title. We do get Layla Hirsch versus Thunder Rosa in a number one contenders eliminator match. Thunder Rosa does wind up winning by pinfall with the Thunder Driver to become the number one contender to the world championship, even though she just lost. And post-match, Tony Schiavone lets Thunder Rosa know that her match next week in San Antonio will be held inside of a salad steel cage. And Britt Baker and her team are backstage. She points out that she beat Rosa at Revolution, complains about her earning another title shot so quickly, and she asks where Mercedes Martinez is and says it doesn't really matter because Hayter is going to finish her on Rampage. And what she's afraid of is what becomes of AEW if carny riffraff like Thunder Rosa becomes champion. And we go to break. So, guys, I don't know how you felt about this match. I thought there was... It was definitely sloppy in points, and I didn't necessarily love the whole thing, but we knew what the outcome was going to be, right? Like, how could Thunder Rosa not get a shot in San Antonio, essentially her home turf? Matt, what did you think of this?
I liked the match. It served its purpose. I liked it a lot better than the matches we saw on Sunday, I'll tell you that. I like legit Layla a lot. I think she is super talented, and her and Thunder... Rosa, I thought they worked great together. I like the little finish. Like, there's still, we're seeing stuff with the women that we weren't seeing a couple months ago, like her going for the turnbuckle and Red Velvet making, you know, coming down and knocking that out of her hands. Kind of goes back to the whole thing with Statlander and Red Velvet and her as a team. So it's like we're continuing secondary and even third stories in the women's division, which is nice because we weren't getting that a couple months ago. I think it's a good look. I know a lot of people don't like what happened Sunday, but like, look, we're going to go St. Patrick's Slam in Texas in a steel cage a year from the lights out match. Like, this is the perfect storm. So let's do it. I'm excited. I was very interested to see. I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and Kate had said in a couple text messages, maybe Texas death match. But if we're going to do it, women's cage match on Dynamite, first time ever, these ladies deserve it. And I love that Britt afterwards was like, I just fucking beat this bitch. How's she in an eliminator match? A bunch of bullshit. It was great. I loved it all. And I love the new women's title.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that was unveiled at Revolution. Yes, that new title looks so much better. Looks like a legit, you know, better big championship. Schlong, any take on the match?
The match was fine. I think the only thing that marred it a little bit was knowing what the outcome was going to be. I think that was the only like not negative to it, but I enjoyed the match thoroughly. Steel cage is a great stipulation and actually does line up with the story they told at Revolution, because the only reason Thunder lost is because of all the outside interference, and AEW treats a steel cage like it was meant to be treated, which is you stay in the steel cage. You don't have people come in and out. You had people trying to escape, like you stay in. I loved Thunder's reaction to hearing it was a steel cage, because like she literally like dropped to her knees almost and like weeping with excitement. Which is great, because like to her, it shows that she knows that's why she kept losing. Like, this is a big deal. And though Britt didn't say it and Thunder didn't say it, because Britt's not going to say it and Thunder didn't get the mic, there is logic that Thunder got another chance to win because of the way she lost. You know, you figure if you're Tony, if in a kayfabe world, if you're Tony in the back and you're booking, you know, you're booking this thing and you see your number one contender lose because of all the outside interference, if I'm like a promoter, like in a kayfabe world where wins and losses aren't predetermined, I'm going to go, wait a minute. No. That's bullshit. They get another shot. So like, kind of makes sense. She didn't lose clean. If she had lost clean, it defeats the purpose. But by not losing clean, that's a very old school wrestling thing. I'm so excited. Those two are going to nail in the cage. And I think them not being like their match at Revolution suffered by the clearly changed last minute change in outcome.
Well, right.
Everyone knows what Wednesday is going to be. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it will be fun to see them in a steel cage with hopefully no interference. St. Patrick's Day Slam shaping up to be a pretty good show. And guys, we're into our main event of the evening, Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky. My goodness, the spot at the beginning of this where Sammy does a 630 senton to the floor through a table with nobody there to help him just seems kind of crazy to me. But that's when Tay comes out to, you know, show her support for Sammy, her boyfriend. Paige Van Zandt is ringside. Cutting to the end of this, Scorpio Sky winds up shocking the world and winning by pinfall with the TKO to become your new AEW TNT champion. And post-match, Scorpio hits Sammy with the belt. Paige Van Zandt throws a roundhouse kick to Conti, to Tay Conti, to lay her out post-match. And then Paige Van Zandt signs her AEW contract right on Tay's ass. And that's the end of the show. Paige Van Zandt winds up signing the contract. Ryan, what'd you think about the match in the post show or in the post match?
Match was really good. Like you said, that moment with Sammy through the table. Jesus Christ, the speed he had on that splash just was insane. He's got to slow down. My God. I love Scorpio Sky. He's one of my favorites. Early on, you know, he was a fan favorite. He deserved to get this title at some point. So to actually see it come through, I think there's a great story between him and Ethan Page if they want to tell, where Ethan gets jealous. So I don't want Wardlow to beat him for it. I want him to hold it because I think there's a lot of stories to be told there. The interference stuff and Paige Van Zandt, I didn't really enjoy it in the match, but I totally get signing her. I think they should. She is a star. She's got a legit, you know, MMA background, so she's probably going to be able to catch on to wrestling pretty well. It should be, you know, it's weird where they did it, but I like the move. And Scorpio deserved this, so I couldn't be happier with the way this went down.
Kate, I know you had to step away for a moment, but we're talking about the main event here and the post-match with Paige Van Zandt signing her contract. Any thoughts on the match and the post-match?
Match I thought was great. Scorpio Sky deserves it so much. You guys spoke a lot to the spots, it sounded like, but Ethan Page was absolutely cracking me up at ringside with some of his facial expressions and the stuff he was saying. When Tay Conti went down to help Sammy, he was like, "You can't be down here." Just like such a smarmy little asshole. Loved seeing that. I think it was great. It's his time. I don't want him to lose it. They normally don't take things like that away from fans, so I hope they stick with it. He also immediately released a really cool shirt that says Black and Proud, I think, and it's like in Steelers design, so it's pretty cool. If you want to check out some, I don't usually like their merch designs, but worth checking out. Great main event. I thought it was a fantastic match. Feels like a good time for Sammy to drop. I think he got, once the Inner Circle stuff cleared, his run has been fantastic, and I think this was a good place for it to end.
Wait, I got to interrupt because I just saw the shirt and I just realized what Kate did. Kate, what colors were they?
What, it was black and yellow, wasn't it?
Yeah, what team do you think he's repping?
Oh, is it the Lakers? Remember.
Yeah.
I thought they had purple. Don't the Lakers have purple and yellow?
But they also have black in there and the whole thing. It's
clearly, I think their old jerseys were white, baby blue, and maybe purple.
All right, well, I don't care about basketball. It looks Steelers-y.
It's great because I don't care about Sammy Guevara, and this could not have gone any better. I'm fucking tired of them. And you're crazy. Well, guess who doesn't have a title belt anymore, Sammy? You and your crazy girlfriend can go fuck off. How do you like them apples?
Boom.
Boom. Wow, Scorpio Sky deserves to be the champion. He'll be a better champion than Sammy Guevara ever was. He won't be carrying on two belts like a fucking hand job. Somebody's trying to make up for a small pecker there. Yeah, I said it. I said it. You don't see Scorpio Sky running around saying he wants to rape chicks, do you? No.
Oh, Matt's in it.
A minute. Scorpio Sky is the man. Ethan Page's reaction afterwards on the ramp where he's like crying is awesome. The only thing I don't give a shit about is a Paige Van Zant Ty Conte feud. I want nothing to do with that.
Just go the sign Willow itself, Nightingale. Like, who gives a shit? Go sign women that can work. Go sign Willow. Go sign Trisha. Go sign Please Tony Storm. Willow. I know Willow's like my favorite.
Here's the thing. I don't like that feud. I think they're smart for signing Paige. I think long term that's not a bad move. I don't think that's no, don't get me wrong. If you tell me signing her stopped you from signing those other women, I would have an issue. I don't think one.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with her signing. I don't want to see her in a feud with
Tate. Yeah, as I say, she's not ready for that feud yet.
That is oil and water right there. That is two left hands. We don't need two left. We need a left and a right. It will be a disaster. And I don't want to see a mixed tag match.
Oh, it's going to be a mixed tag match.
Nothing. No, Sam, look. He did this fucking goofy, crazy flip through the table. Insane spot after doing the fucking Spanish fly the other night.
That's because he's crazy. That's why he did
right,
it.
I know. All right. I got it. Why are you going up to the top rope then, bro? You're all hurt. You're all banged up. You're a silly goose.
He's crazy.
He does. And you know what that gets you? That gets you a fat L and less money at the winner's
I love the rant. The rant Matt goes on to then go to that you're a silly goose.
Yeah, we're 2:45-ish. We got to clip that. You're a silly goose.
He's a silly goose. He deserves to lose. Take your hot Brazilian girlfriend, hit the bricks. Your inner circle exploded. You don't have two belts anymore. You fucking hand job. Get out of here. Get a haircut too. The fucking weird fucking hair. Look like Quail Man. Get out of here.
Quail Man. It should be noted too, he wore a vest that was not an inner circle vest.
Yeah, get your own. Go back to the panda thing.
No, don't go back to the panda. No, back to the panda
thing. Why are you such a hater, Matt?
Matt just loves to hate. Marco Stunt's not there anymore, so he has to find someone new to direct him to say that.
I was Team Scorpio Sky all the way. I don't want to root for Sammy Guevara.
He's just
like Marco Stunt, hanging on the teeth of Jericho.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
And then he had another
teeth of Jericho. And then
he had another teat sucker that you know as Fuego del Sol. Then they were just sucking each other's teats to get to the top. And now what?
What happened? We're all to the fucking show?
Losers.
Matt is so all losers. So ornery.
He really is.
This is Mark Order Podcast, episode 50, Teat Talk and Sleep Jacking. That's the title.
Wait, I thought the title was the first title.
I don't know, Teat talk and sleep jacking is pretty good.
It's down. Sleep jacking has to be in it because that's what I'm taking away from this episode.
Really? Well, what you can take away from this episode is they hit a big reset button on a lot of the stories for Dynamite starting tonight. So it should be interesting moving forward over the next few weeks.
I'm going to forget this. Uh-huh. Ant, you know, we're excited. We have a good thing coming for us because last time we brought up something Matt hadn't done in a while, like shitting his pants. Within like 3 days, Matt shit his pants. We're going to get a text of Matt being like, I got caught sleep jacking again. Like, we know it's coming.
Yep. We've also said sleep jacking enough where it's going to be in his brain as his big dumb head falls asleep. He can't control what's going on there. I just said big dumb head. And you have a problem with the big part?
Yeah, my head's not like... Your head looks like a bobblehead. My head does.
It's very true. I have a large head, but I also have a large body.
I bet you your head is full of candy.
Aunt, do we have any news and notes?
No,
a few news and notes. Come on. A few small things. They re-signed Miro.
Good for him.
Miro 4 years. Apparently has re-signed for 4 years. Schlong is correct.
I hope he can buy lots of fun video games with his money.
And good ones.
Don't buy like... what's the table hockey? It's a terrible one.
Well, air hockey.
You said video games, and you went with table hockey.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Air, you're talking air hockey or the one with the sticks?
The spin, the one you got to spin.
First of all, there's no spinnies on anything foosball.
That's hockey. The one I was looking for. Air hockey's awesome.
I mean, not air hockey. I'm sorry, the hockey. You know, sliding.
Took them bubble hockey.
Yeah, bubble hockey. That's it.
I'm sure he and his hot, flexible wife have better things to do with their time than play foosball.
Yeah, I don't know. We saw his small pecker too. So
he's gonna buy a lot of hot lingerie for his flexible wife.
Lingerie.
It's a throwback to Method Man.
Linger longer.
Also, the rumors are out there that Cody has multiple offers, and the E wants an answer on there soon for obvious reasons. Cody's aware of all the rumors about his status per the Fight Club. And sources close to him are saying that he won't sign anywhere for some time, and he's downplaying reports about his next move. So who knows? Yes, Matthew?
If he's out, can we stop with the fucking Cody figures?
You know.
Can we stop with the Cody figures anyway?
Well, they're going to make all they can until they can.
We got fucking Stars and Stripes Cody coming. We got Suit Cody coming. I don't need any. I got enough Codys, man. Give me an Alex Reynolds and a Colt Cabana.
That's all Matt wants is to complete his Dark Order.
Yeah, and I need, Oh, you know what they, I need a 5 and a 10.
We also need a Millionaire Matt, an Ant Money, a Schlong, and a KTG to complete the Mark Order podcast set.
I'm in.
Boom.
Okay. Also, it should be noted that Rampage is going to get bumped for a couple of these NCAA March Madness tournaments. March 18th, Rampage is listed at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. So feel free to set your DVR.
You know what? I hate to cut you off. Set your DVR. You probably should stay up and watch. God forbid you get an overtime game, and then it goes past 11:30, and your DVR starts recording a basketball game, and then you miss like the last 20 minutes of Rampage. You'd be upset.
Well, yes, I was just going to say the game has a 9:20 scheduled tip-off, the last game of the night, so it could definitely get pushed. So if you set your DVR, definitely set it for a couple hours.
Do you recall the days when you had to do that with your VCR?
Yes. But
horrifying.
Usually, yeah, you're right. I can't remember. Usually I would never pre-program it unless I was like going somewhere, but I would just hit record and just tape 8 hours, you know.
Smart man.
Yeah.
That's why you're the brains of this operation.
Sometimes.
All the time.
That's it, guys. That's all the news and notes after quite a full week in the world of AEW. Lots of surprises, lots of debuts. Matt's flexing in some weird way now. Anyway, let's get ready to go home. Kate, what's going on in your world?
Oh, boy. So I was on the Fightful post-show review on Sunday. I was on an AEW Revolution review on the Donut Bag with Joey Bag of Donuts yesterday. Tuesdays with Alex Velasquez at Sour Grapes on Fightful. Every Wednesday here at the Mark Order Podcast, and Fridays, AEW Rampage and SmackDown post-show with Sean Rossap on Fightful YouTube as well. And my first commentary gig this weekend, Excite Wrestling. Tune in on Twitch TV.
Can you get the audio from that for us?
I should be able to. It sticks on Twitch. If I'm terrible, you're never getting it. If I'm all right, you'll get it.
I mean, I'm watching, so I'll know.
Shut up. No.
I mean, we could also, I mean, Matt, we know who's running the show. Can't we just ask them for the audio?
Maybe. I just want to clip it up and just have thousands of drops.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, can't we just say, hey, Kate's part of our show. Can we get the audio, just the audio, so we can clip it up?
It's available at twitch.tv/excitewrestling.
Right. Maybe one day when we get a Patreon, we do a watch along and we just make fun of Kate's commentary.
I will not be there for that.
Oh, that's
so
fine.
Nervous.
It'll be so much better without you there.
Kate, you are going to crush it. You will be
Thank you. I hope you will be
well prepared. You have many notes.
This is actually a good comment.
There's a lot of people I'm familiar with, which I'm excited for.
Asian Joe wants to know if we can have a word for you to work into commentary.
Ooh, yeah.
When is this game?
Saturday. I can't sleep, Jack. Come on, it's my first appearance.
I mean,
and
Tommy Dreamer.
Michael Scott worked in Shagadelic, baby.
I mean, that's true. I could probably work in. That's easier
than we'll figure something out. We'll put the word out of what we're going to try to get Kate to work in. We'll figure
out. Maybe we do like Colby Brito, LSG, Matt Cross. There's a good card there.
Tommy Dreamer? I thought he got canceled.
No,
he's canceled.
Maybe we do a Twitter thing. People send in their words.
Oh God.
Ooh. That's a good. Hey Ryan,
listen. Look here, Rob Bumpus. And this,
I'll put it out there.
Ryan, put it out there and tell people where they can tweet to and where you're at during the week.
So, where you're going to see the word search is at MarkOrderPod on Twitter. I use that account, especially heavy on Monday and Tuesdays to live tweet Elevation and Dark. And then I'm there through the rest of the week. So if you want to engage, I'm usually free. I'll try, as long as you're not being an asshole, I'll engage in any conversation. And be on the lookout for, it's really just going to be a general question of what word should Kate use? And then try to narrow it down from there. And so shlong and good night.
Yeah, well, and look, people out there, we're not looking for Kate to get fired or get in trouble. No filthy words, like some like funny inside, like maybe she said something on the Mark Order podcast or on one of her other shows that is just funny, like maybe she could work it in and it would pop us. So don't be lewd. Leave that to me, please. Steal my fucking gimmicks.
Leave it to Matt. So as Ryan said, you can find us on our socials at Mark Order Pod, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, on any of our social channels. You can head to our link tree in our bio and you can find all of our socials that way. You can also find any of our podcast feeds that you can subscribe to. If you're watching us, we thank you so much for watching live. If you're listening in podcast form, we also appreciate that. You should certainly check out the videos, which are all on our YouTube page, to see all of the craziness that happens that doesn't come across in audio format. But if you are listening to us in podcast form, as I said, it does help if you subscribe, like, rate, review, do all that stuff to help us on in the algorithms. The other thing you could do if you go to our link tree is you can request free Mark Order podcast stickers. We now have version 1 and version 2, our nice new round sticker. So if you want stickers, all you got to do is go to the link tree, click the button to request your free stickers, leave us your name, your mailing address, and what country you're in, and we will get those out to you as soon as possible. Other than that, as Matt said, in 2 weeks, it will be our 1 year anniversary show. Isn't that exciting? We're going to have nothing special planned, by the way. That was a perfect cut-off for the music.
Bret Hart is appearing on the show. Tune in.
Don't say that.
Tell all your friends that Bret Hart will be here.
Don't say that because I would love to talk to Bret
Hart. My name tag may just say Bret Hart. Sorry, guys.
Perfect. So does someone show up wearing sunglasses with wet hair?
Yeah. Ryan, get a wig and get wraparound pink sunglasses.
Sunglasses are going to be the thing that's hard to get.
Don't disrespect Bret Hart. Don't.
If anything, Matt, you should dress up as Bret Hart.
I would never do such a thing.
Why?
Disrespect a legend.
How is that disrespectful? Imitation is the sincerest
Bret
form of
flattery. Bret Hart doesn't have a beard. He doesn't have any facial hair.
Shave it off.
What are you, fucking out of your mind? My wife will stab me in the neck. She hates my face. That's why I wear this.
I mean, she's not wrong.
That's also hurtful. Yeah, your words hurt, sir. You should think before you speak.
Okay. Well, 2 weeks, it's our 1 year anniversary show. Tune in and see what we might have planned, but we're not going to have anything planned. And we will be back here next week.
It's good. I don't have anything to plug. Don't worry about me.
Oh, fuck, man. I thought you had already plugged. Go ahead, because you did the live reads.
I know. We're good. Don't worry about it.
Let's what show are you on Monday night?
Under, we have a minute and 30 seconds left, 90 seconds.
You can catch Matt on the Shining Wizards podcast every Monday night and this week.
There you go. We'll do the mute Kate. There we go. Let's just take her home.
Matt, quickly get it out there.
Their guest is Joe Henry, who was on Dynamite.
Ooh, who?
Joe who? Henry?
Whatever.
Anthony Henry.
Anthony Henry.
A fantastic
Joe
wrestler.
Henry is also a wrestler.
Two completely different people, but
oh my goodness.
Kate, I appreciate
Sorry, do your own fucking plugs then. I got
I would have, but Anthony just rolled right over me. He just said.
Well, that's because Matt did such a great live read before. It just totally slipped my mind that he didn't do his plugs right now.
It's okay.
You
know where the A show is.
Right here.
Come on over
Wednesday
nights. Thank you to everybody that joined in on YouTube and Facebook. Asian Joe, Kyle Sparks, Rob Humphreys, Athletically Lazy, Marky Mark Kayfabe, Gordon Post. I know Chris Mueller jumped in here for a minute. Brendan Bergen was in here. If I missed you, my apologies, but thank you guys for joining us every Wednesday night for this marathon of a show. I hope it's as much fun for you as it is for me, because I have a blast here. I know it drives Anthony crazy.
No, I love when you're here.
He scolds me. I'm going to record this too after the show. Scolds me like a child who just continuously picks his nose and just wipes it on everything all over the house.
Well, you kind of act like a child.
Well, I don't have to be responsible on Wednesday nights on this show, okay? I do enough Monday nights. Fun.
I also don't scold. Let's be real.
You act a fool, you're going to get treated like a fool.
He scolds. Scolds hard. Hurts. He's got three belts. Yeah, compensating.
What?
You have three belts.
I don't know. What three belts?
Three, whatever three belts you like to rock.
I mean, I've got my regular belt. Uh-huh. I've got a winged eagle.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Best belt ever.
That's it.
No, you got, you got a couple toy belts.
Oh, those aren't mine. Those are the baby monies. He's got nothing. I'm telling you the truth. They're not mine. They're the kids. Actually, he's got a spinner. He's got a hardcore belt. And he's got an AEW World Championship belt.
Didn't we already talk about toys? Can we go home?
We're going home. We'll be back next Wednesday. St. Patrick's Slam. Look, and if you're going to go out on St. Patrick's Day, you're going to go to one of these parades, don't be a fucking amateur, all right? Green beer is stupid. Just be a normal human being and don't drink and drive. Get an Uber, get a Lyft, take a bus, take a train. People still take taxis, is that a thing?
Yeah. But usually it's Uber. Anyway,
Uber.
We'll be back next week here on the Mark Order Podcast.
Goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.